Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put quite in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my place where I was born and raised, the place where he
all pleasure here on earth I found. I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no
clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
Round table. everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com, and that static in the background, I think, is Barbara's mic. I just heard that scratchy scratch when you move. Maybe you got loose wire. You still there, lady?
I do have loose wires, that's for sure.
We need some duct tape.
Don't know
that.
About my mic, but...
duct tape.
Duct tape,
or,
yeah.
Or sit real still. Alright, so anyway, folks, like I said, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com, and yesterday we had some network connection problems, and I think we got that resolved. New network card and all that kind of stuff. Actually, a new old one because I put a backup one in the server just in case for just such an emergency, and finally had to use it. So anyway, scroll down underneath the one of the four chat rooms in the Super Chat, and you can click on the People for People link and go over there and listen to those folks as well. So I'm going to click on this page, and I'm going to read off a quick list and then give you the rundown of what I want to start talking about today. So there are these secret societies that aren't so secret anymore, all right? There's a Skull and Bones, which was formed in, they say, 1832. And some of the founders were Frederick Ellsworth, Mather. I'm not even going to read their names out. Forget it. All right, let's go down to the second one. Coming in at number two in 1776 was the Illuminati. We all heard about the Illuminati. And now coming down into number three. Keep in mind, folks, these are only five of the secret societies that we know that are secret, which we shouldn't know because they're supposed to be secret. All right, the Freemasons, that's coming in at number three. Everybody has seen a Mason Lodge in their neighborhood, I'm sure, and that was founded in formed in 1717. Man, that's old. Founders, four English lodges, that's where that came from. And then we have the ever so famous because of Alex Jones, Bohemian Grove, formed in 1872. And coming in at number five, formed in 1954, the famous Bilderberg Group. All right, so I'm about done with that page right there. So anyway, why am I even mentioning secret societies? Because today here on the Knights of the Round Table, we're going to expose the oldest secret society in the history of time. And we're going to expose how dangerous this secret society could actually be. And so, with that said, Barbara, you found a huge list of secret societies. You want to go into that before I get into the other?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it again. It's 25. Well, I bet there's more, but yeah, now, you know, they keep growing, right? Powerful. Well, 23. Okay, 23 most powerful secret societies. I'm just pulling this up now, and hold on, let's see, because there's going to be a video playing here, and I don't want the video. Oh, I don't want the video. Hello?
Excuse me, I'm sitting here choking up my coffee.
Too bad. Okay, they want me to... they want to send me push-button notifications that I... do you want it? No, I do not. Get out of my hair. Okay, now, yeah, these organizations, they've developed their own rituals and require membership oaths. They exist for numerous reasons and have popped up over the centuries. Not just anyone can be a member of these groups. Many restrict admittance based on your gender, on your religion, or your occupation. Some seek power for their members, while others are dedicated to charity. Supposedly, whatever their purpose, these organizations are thought to have significant influence on the outside world, largely because of the powerful people known to be members. 24/7 Wall Street reviewed historical records and media sources to determine the most powerful secret societies still in existence today. So, perhaps the group that pops into most people's heads, yes, is when you hear the word secret society, is the Illuminati. However, the actual Illuminati formed in Germany in the 18th century, only existed for a few years before disappearing. The legend of the Illuminati is all-powerful secret order, which includes famous people like Beyonce. Ooh, and that's interesting. Beyonce?
Okay. The singer lady?
It looks like it.
Wow.
I don't know. Well, yeah, because we're looking at the Illuminati, supposedly a lot of Hollywood people today are involved, so in this group, there are secret societies whose members have wielded considerable influence and power that are very real, and they still operate to this day. Freemasons are well known worldwide, with an estimated 3.6 million members, more than 1 million of whom are in the United States. The group has included influential figures such as George Washington, Ben Franklin, J. Edgar Hoover, Benedict Arnold, and many, many more. Secret societies likely make people think of old men sitting over grand wooden tables. The group that may be able to claim the most influential alumni in the U.S. is made up of college students, the Skull and Bone Society, open only to seniors at Yale University, and a long list of powerful businessmen and politicians. For instance, Presidents William Taft, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush were all members. Many secret societies focus more on helping the world than its members. Groups like the Odd Fellows. That's an interesting Odd Fellows.
Yeah, and the Odd Fellows, if anybody knows any kind of thing about history, that's got into some mob stuff there. So, you know.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Seven Societies have stated missions to help those in need. Other organizations, the Loyal Order of the Moose, and the Ancient Order of United Workmen, and made up of working class people, and serve as a union of sorts, advocating for their members' interests in helping them obtain health and life insurance. So, secret societies date back hundreds of years, with one of the oldest examples being the Knights Templar, the group of crusading warriors founded in 1118. They had stated mission of protecting Christian pilgrims. And boy, did they create a bloody mess.
Yes, that crusades. Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Ain't that where the Crusades came from?
That's right. And defending the Holy Land against Muslim armies. They're still working on it, aren't they? 1118. The Knights Templar disbanded, they say, in the early 14th century, but many secret societies still aim to promote its religious values. Though Opus Dei was vilified in the film The Da Vinci Code, the Catholics' organization's stated goal is to encourage people to be close to Christ, making him known to others through violence and, just saying, I'm being snarky. The ancient order of Hibernians, work to preserve and defend their religion.
See, I never even heard of that one.
I have heard of them, but I don't know too much about them. So, the most powerful societies, okay, let's go to see what they say. And I'll tell you, here it is about the Hibernians. The ancient order of these advertisements keep popping up in front of me. That's why I'm stumbling around, folks. Sorry.
You need pop-up blocker.
Uh-huh. Stop seeing this ad, please. Okay, Ancient Order of Hibernians, founded in 1836. Their mission was to protect Catholic churches from anti-Catholic forces. John F. Kennedy, Fulton Sheen, Pat O'Brien were all parts of this. It's the oldest Irish Catholic fraternal organization in the United States. It was established to shield Catholics from bigotry in the United States in the 19th century. This organization, whose members include John F. Kennedy, traces its roots to secret societies created in Ireland more than 300 years ago to protect Catholics from British oppression. Then you have the Ancient Order of United Workmen, 1868. And what do we have? Bilderberg Group. Well, this is one of the secret societies that is sort of in the news more recently. It was founded in 1954. Now, their mission is to create an aristocracy of purpose. But what does that mean? And you have Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Prince Charles. They were formed to create dialogue among political leaders, academics, and industry executives. Its explicit purpose is to ensure cooperation and harmonious relations between North America and Europe. Participants in the meetings are free to use information gleaned from the event, but the identity of speakers and participants remain secret. Then you have, again, the Bohemian Club, which also is becoming more out there, more known, right?
Yeah.
And that was founded in 1872, and the mission is to escape uncivilized interests. What does that mean? Well-known members, presidents, musicians, oil barons, is a group of rich and powerful who meet at the famous Bohemian Grove in late July. And I have to say, there's some supposedly creepy stuff going on there. Probably not written in this article, though. It's in Northern California, and members stay in tents and cabins and informally discuss the issues of the day. Because of many powerful people who meet there, it's rumored that the retreat is where the elite go to decide the direction of the United States. However, it is likely just a place to relax and drink. Now, this is obviously a biased article here, not telling us anything that we are interested in. You have the Freemasonry, kind of like we all know about that. Interesting that this... we have George Washington, Richard Pryor, Benjamin Franklin, Harry Houdini, and Voltaire were all members of this Freemasonry. It started in 1717. If you want to find out, we're kind of conspiracy realists here. That's what we call ourselves, although the rest of the whomevers will call us conspiracy nutcases. But if you really want to find out about these secret societies from the perspective of conspiracy, it could be very true what you find on these sites. If you go to Freemasonry Conspiracy Theory, you may find something completely different than is written in your daily newspapers. They're not going to disclose that. It's shrouded in mystery and mystique. 3.6 million worldwide.
They actually did some shows on TV about the conspiracy about, but by the time it was all said and done, they actually had Masons on there trying to basically butter it over, where, oh no, it's just, we got secret things, but that's not that big of a deal. It's just like rituals, fun kind of stuff, and so it's like...
Well, and they do good works.
Yeah, when they show, the alien deals, they'll get you all interested. Do we got proof of aliens? And then by the time they leave you with a seed of doubt so that you're not sure, you have not learned anything by the end of the documentary, because this last seed of doubt that they put in there makes you, did we or didn't we go to the moon? That kind of thing.
Right.
How are you supposed to know unless you do the research? So, anyway, sorry to cut you off. I just had to...
No, that's okay, because, there's always going to be a biased opinion on the... It's a secret society, after all. And you have people like, the people that are in it, but George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Harry Houdini, Voltaire, Richard Pryor, and it goes... The list goes on and on, but... So, a secret society is secret sometimes to even its members, right?
Yep.
About what's going on within the depth of these societies.
Yep.
So they could say, well, no, we're doing good work and, we're not bad guys, we're doing good things. And on their level, that's very true. but in a on the deeper levels, and there are, I guess they call them degrees, you know, that you move up into, incrementally, you move up into more powerful positions or more important positions as the world turns. Speaking of as the world turns, that's an interesting aside of what's happening today. So they've been accused of seeking a world order. And as I said, if you want to check out the conspiracy aspect of this, boy, I tell you, some of the things that are noted, you have the setup of cities, buildings, measurements, numbers, certain degrees of things that are sure kind of suspicious, you know. So those who have made these claims, there's never been founded on any evidence, and Freemasons say on their website, of course, that Freemasonry is not and never can be a replacement for faith, family, and occupation. You know?
Yeah.
For sure. So now, then you have Knights of Columbus, founded in 1882. Again, the organization focuses on issues affecting Catholic life. The Knights advocated for tolerance of African Americans and Jews in the early part of the 20th century.
Did you know there's a lady offshoot of the Knights of Columbus? I think it's called the Knights of Pythias.
No.
Yeah, look up the Knights of Pythias.
Okay. Well, there's the Knights of the Maccabees. Never heard of the Knights of Maccabees. They were named after the Jews who rebelled against the oppressive Seleucid Empire in the 2nd century B.C. The group was originally formed in Canada. Knights of Maccabees, mostly active in Michigan. I'm just looking at this Knights of Malta.
I've heard of that one.
I've heard of it too. 1048, founded in 1048. Wow. Nelson Mandela, Frank Sinatra, Henry Kissinger, Frank Capra, all involved in the Knights of Malta. Now, this is given the responsibility by the Pope to defend Christians going to the Holy Land. The Knights number more than 13,000 members today, sponsored charitable endeavors, blah, blah, blah. Then you have the Knights of Pythias. There you go, 1864.
Pythias.
Oh, Pythias.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotta be politically correct. Or I can't even say it. I ain't got no grammar. Anyway.
Well, Pythias.
How many more you got on your list?
Oh my gosh, then you have the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, those are well known. That's some
founded in 1866. Angels. Yeah, they're Robert Byrd, David Duke, Hugo Black, these are names that we know of today. The founded by Confederate Army officer Nathan Bedford Forrest, and was violently anti-African American, anti-immigrant, and anti-Catholic. Anti-everything. So, how many more do I have? That's pretty much it.
All right, well, would it surprise you if I said that the CP group, which is the oldest secret society, is the only secret society that every single one of the listed named ones that you just read out are afraid of?
Okay, wait a minute. Tell me that name again.
The CP group. They are the only ones that all of these secret societies fear.
CP, what does it mean?
Well, we'll get into that here pretty soon, but
okay, so should I just Google CP group?
No, we'll get into it, but
alright.
Anyway, this group has been around for thousands of years. Is the most powerful group that is probably the biggest secret society in the history of time. After a vast amount of research, these folks, they have infiltrated every single aspect of life. Every single society, every single government, every single group that you can name. They have infiltrated every single portion of every single nation's society. So, don't want to scare anybody, but this group has unlimited resources and unlimited power. They are the most feared of all the secret societies amongst all the secret societies just listed it out. So feared, in fact, that they won't even speak of them. So feared that they won't dare go up against them. Has that got you worried?
No. Okay, it's got me worried.
Well, these individuals have basically blocked and manipulated and turned and twisted everything that all the known secret societies of the world have been trying to do for so long. These people they're amongst us. They're in your neighborhood. It's kind of like old Samhain Fair. They're everywhere. And their numbers are mind-blowing. So before we get into who the CP group is, do you realize what kind of power that group actually has to do things in this world? It's incredible. The resources, unlimited resources, unlimited power, unlimited influence. These other groups out there, the mainstream media, some of which are parts of all these groups that you just mentioned, they won't even speak of these people. Because they fear these people. There is no secret society in the entire history of time. This group has been around for thousands of years. There is no secret society that has ever been more feared than the CP group.
Ah, really?
Yeah. It's a fact. Their power and their influence is in the schools, it's in the governments, it's in the businesses, it's in corporations at higher to lower levels. And the things that they can do, the things that they can get done, it would blow your mind.
Hmm.
Now, you ready for the hook?
I'm ready.
CP group, a.k.a. crazy people, are listening to this show right now.
We are.
We. If you're listening right now, you are a member of the CP group. You're the one with the power, the ultimate power, the most powerful group in the history of time that all the secret societies of this world fear, because they know. It's like what that grasshopper was saying about the ants. They outnumber us 100 to 1, but in your case, you outnumber them millions to one. And if you ever figure that out, their way of life changes. That's why they fear you. That's why they don't talk about it. That's why anytime you get anywhere close to them, they want to make you sound crazy. Let that sink in for a second. There are supposedly 9 billion people on this planet. There are known secret societies that rule this planet. And they do it only because the CP group allows them to do it. See, that's the key right there. That's the big hook. Is the CP group allows secret societies to exist, knowing that at any given time, they could take them down in a heartbeat. What do you think?
Well, I think that's pretty crazy.
The citizens of the world have tolerated so much stuff. But in reality, their true power, their true magnificence, the true influence, they're the eyes, they're the ears, they're the ones who bring to light those that
are hidden
behind the veil and the curtain.
Well, I guess you're talking complacency, just the complacency of most of the people, right?
Yeah. We just
of accepting the system, unbeknownst, in a way. This is an important subject here because right now today, some things are happening. And Patty and I have talked about this. We've been talking about it for months. What's really going on? And I would say there's something bigger going on behind the scenes, you know.
That's right. And I heard your show yesterday, and that's what inspired today's events. Was to expose the most powerful group in the history of time.
Right.
So anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that here we are. We're in a conundrum, a situation that is going to be really trying the people, because what you're talking about is we're all colluding with the system.
Yeah,
it's what you're saying.
Exactly.
We are in collusion with the dirty goings on, the controllers, the mind controllers, the system as it has been set up. To really do damage.
We tolerate it when we don't have to.
Well, we tolerate it when we don't have to, but I'm going to talk about the systematic. You know, some of these secret societies, look how far back they go, right?
Yep.
And they started in Europe. You know, the secret societies, of course, because before they came here to Turtle Island, you have the systematic, incremental manipulation of minds of the people, of populations.
Yeah.
You have people standing on soap boxes screaming that these people over there are the problem and we have to get our swords and shields together and like the crusaders and our religion needs to be protected and these people have another religion and they're messing with us so let's go get them, you know, the crusades I'm talking about, you know, if you read anything about the Crusades, it will just blow your mind, again, the blow the mind thing, about the amount of blood, death, gore that went on there in the Middle East.
Well, not to mention the witch burnings.
Oh, that's a whole other story. The Inquisition was 200 years. You talk 200 years of violence. Witch burning, torture, to torture you to get to admit you're a witch.
And if you die, well, you're innocent.
And if you die, you're innocent. That's the witch dunking in the water.
Yeah.
They drown. Well, they were innocent. Oops.
Yeah,
you know?
Oops. That's the key word, oops. Sorry about
oops.
Your luck. Well, at least we know you ain't a witch.
Well, there is a movie, there was a documentary made by the couple of Canadian women quite a few years ago called The Burning Times. If you want to Google The Burning Times, YouTube or documentary or whatever, they have documents from the Vatican that show the vile, disgusting behaviors of these men in robes, the priestly whatevers they are, to violate, murder, torture, and usurp the properties of people, because that's what it's all about, against populations. And it wasn't just women. It was gay people, it was gypsies, and even Jews, and various other things. But this 200 years of torture, murder, burning, and so on is called due to the Inquisition because you were not Christian. Pretty much, it's basically what it is, that you're, against the church or so on. But we have today something going on that is going to test us again. Are we going to acquiesce to the system, are we going to allow what is happening, what has been happening, that is now being uncovered? Are we going to sit there and look at mainstream media and say, well, this is all fake, this is a lie, because that's where we are again. We've been this way, this is what goes on in society. Is it a lie that that priest molested, you know, however many children? Is it a lie that this politician, is it a lie that this comedian, this clown, Jimmy Sales comes to mind, is it a lie? Is this fake news? We're put in the position to constantly be being met with this stuff. Is it a lie? Is it true? Now, you will be subjected to, of course, two different opinions by the authorities, by the elite, by the mainstream media, by the deep state, by this politician, and so on and so forth, even your neighbor.
Well, that's why this, they fear the crazy people, because the crazy people have the tinfoil hats, and they have the power to quite literally wake up other crazy people, and if you get too many crazy people to wake up, they can't get by with the shenanigans they've been pulling all these years.
Well, that's true, and, you know, so the point is that there's a reason why they call us nutcases, or conspiracy nutcases, or crazy people, or tinfoil-wearing hats, or whatever, because that's part of the agenda, is to make people who really do seek out the truth and find the truth to be crazy people.
Yeah, and that's you also know? Because if like this headline right here, pedophiles on the run, Hillary and Huma in trouble as President Trump just orders. Basically, it's about a film that's supposedly circulating in the dark web.
Well, I was just going to talk about that.
Yeah, well, if this is even remotely true, all right, this is a bombshell that if it never woke up the crazy people of the world, nothing would, because what was explained...
You mean the dumbed-down people.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the dumbed-down people. It's the people who are basically acquiescing to the mess,
yeah.
Acquiescing to the lies. People who... They're not doing it on purpose. It's not... It's brainwashing.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. We can be subjected to a system that is incrementally training us and brainwashing us to believe one side against the other. This is what politics is all about.
That's right.
But this goes deeper. So here's the contents of Wiener's laptop. Do you remember Wiener?
Yeah, Anthony Wiener, the nasty guy.
Anthony Wiener's laptop.
Okay. It's crazy. That's really his last name, and that's what he was supposedly sending pictures of out to all these
people. He was
people.
Sending pictures of his wiener to young girls. Say it. It's only a wiener.
Yeah, something really wrong with that, man. But they found a lot of trash on his laptop that has, like, basically shook the foundations of all the secret societies and government entities, including Congress and Senates, and, you know, according to the story, that was so bad in what they had seen in these videos that the New York PD's officers were throwing up and crying and... They needed help.
But I'm going to get into this, because this is where we are today. We started out with talking about secret societies and all the false information about secret societies. No, we're just good guys, and the Masons are okay, and the, this one's is that, and the Skull and Bones is okay, and so on. Now, the contents of Wiener's laptop will shock the world and must be revealed. And this is the most difficult thing that we are going to be meeting today.
Yep.
The revealing of this. And again, we're going to be put in a position as human people to say that's true or that's false. We're going to be put in the position to, when this is revealed, and it's slowly being revealed, by the way, because incrementally it must be revealed, because it will just shock the people to a point where they will go crazy. I mean, they'll just be beside themselves.
Yep.
People are already lined up with their preferences. There are people who are lined up against, for instance, this presidency. There are people that are lined up screaming on one side, and people who are lined up screaming on the other. Now, this is part of the system, systematic confusing of the people, of the population. Get them fighting each other, get them screaming at each other so they can't even think straight.
Yeah, but just imagine for a second if those crazy people weren't fighting amongst each other, but actually came together to stand against the beast.
Well, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, the beast has risen, its head, ugly head, and we are now going to be confronted with that truth of this actual beast.
So we're going to be forced. We're going to be forced to face it. Quite literally.
We are going to be forced to face it because if you want, let's look at this. Are you aware? I mean, we read things in the news about horrible stuff.
Yep.
About satanic groups, and we go, yeah, right. Okay, it's not in my backyard. And we are forced to see on the news the people doing horrible things to children, horrible things to babies and children, and weird stuff. And we go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But then let me move on here. What else is in the news? We're being forced to see all this stuff, right? But now this is like a worldwide situation, and this is a very deep thing that is in our system, that is in our government, that is in Hollywood. Now, well, you say Hollywood, yeah, those people are corrupt. They're all about money. Yeah, they're, you know, doing this and that, and they have these secret groups, and there you go, secret cults, and we have some of these, what's that church that all these,
Scientology,
you know, oh yeah, that's coming out that's a cult, you know, and various other groups, we have these cults of a leader that have been, you know, having sex with everybody's children. I mean, and we read this stuff and then we pass it by, say, oh my God, that's terrible, and let me see what else is in the news. We have all this stuff that's been coming out over the years, haven't we? But now we've reached a point where the big bombshell is going to happen. So let's go into this. Just days before the 2016 election, well, before I go into it, I'm going to say to people, okay, what we really must do, I feel, this is my personal opinion, is we need to, in this day and age, not have a knee-jerk reaction to what we hear, what we're going to be shown, and just shut off and say, forget that, that's a lie, that's not true, or this is ridiculous. Try not to do that, because that's what we've been trained to do. If something sort of like pushes your button, if something sort of like makes you uncomfortable, you don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Forget it. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to shut down and I doubt this whole thing. So I'm going to ask everyone and suggest that this is where we need to be today. Okay? Because we're going to be put to the test here.
Yeah, need to be alert and vigilant.
Absolutely. And just listen and hear. See if you can, for a moment, not react. Because I know there are people out there who are going to jump into this right away and react negatively or doubtfully and so on. And it's okay. We have to question everything. But you at least have to listen before you can even question it or make a determination, right? You have to know all the facts, and this is what's going to happen. All the facts are being displayed, and are more and more is going to be displayed, and I'm going to tell you that the mainstream media, as they are already doing, are throwing out the opposing perception or perspective that this is all a lie and a fake, because they basically hate Trump. That's what the whole thing is. I'm not a Trumper. Again, this is not about Trump. This is not about politics. This is about us. This is about we the people. And what do we want? And let's wake up, people. I think the majority of us listening will kind of agree that the government political factions has been corrupt on many levels. But this is going to be a broad spectrum here of corruption that's going to, again, blow your mind. So just days before the 2016 election, one of the most consequential revelations was revealed to us that quickly got buried before the American people could fully realize what happened. And that is a key piece. Got buried. before the American people could fully realize what happened. Now, we know, I read about that Anthony Weiner, that I saw the photographs of him photographing himself with his iPhone there, half naked and showing his wiener. Kids. That's why he was arrested. Well, lo and behold, he was arrested and his laptop was confiscated. Okay. And then they found stuff. The New York Police Department was the first to examine the contents of Anthony Weiner's laptop after they obtained the contents through a warrant granted while investigating his underage sexting scandal. Now, Anthony Weiner is married to Huma Abedin, just to give you a heads up. All right, it was confirmed to us by multiple sources that the New York Police Department found much more than just the previously undisclosed classified emails that reopened the Hillary Clinton investigation. And that investigation was reopened, just to give you another insider information. Now, Huma Abedin kept a folder on Anthony Weiner's laptop. This is interesting. Why would Huma Abedin keep a folder on Anthony Weiner's laptop, her husband?
Well, wasn't it labeled life insurance?
Yes. She kept a folder that contained a treasure trove of blackmail files to use against Bill and Hillary Clinton in the event they ever came after her. All right.
Yep.
What were you going to say?
Well, there's a tactic that goes back for a long time. Basically, it's to get your enemies to fight amongst each other. And of course, we the people are the enemies of the state, according to the state. And they pretty much said that when they wrote things like the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act and all the things that came about after episodes like 9/11 and all these supposed mass shootings around the states and such, and even things that you see over in UK and different places like that, is essentially, you know, put in place to basically, you know, control us, to get us, to keep us constantly fighting amongst each other, all right? And Sun Tzu, the Art of War, the book, that if you ever got an opportunity to
read that book, yep.
Man, you would see that was probably by far the most brilliant Art of War. And
yeah.
I'm going to throw a wiki link in there about that, but either way, basically, you could fight without even fighting, where you're appearing to be peaceful, and all you're doing is basically propagandizing your enemy to get them to kill each other. And so if they're killing each other, kind of like something you hear in modern-day U.S. societies, everybody's out there attacking each other politically, spiritually, and mentally, and emotionally, and financially, you know, just tearing each other apart. Well, the enemy, which are these secret societies listed in the beginning of this show, are, you know, winning the war. They're setting back. That's why I tell everybody, what's the point of going out there protesting the government? You're making them money every time you do it. You see
what I mean? Exactly. And it's not going to change much. What's happening is this is going to change. This is going to make change.
Yep.
What's coming out is going to make change. If you want the change, it's up to us to, you know, be smart and wise and look at all the pieces here, the pieces to the puzzle. This is the biggest rabbit hole that Patty and I have gone down, one of them anyway. But now I'm going to say this again. Who is Huma Abedin? Huma Abedin was Hillary Clinton's sidekick. Basically, they're saying now she was their handler. Huma Abedin has a history with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah, she's got one heck of a history.
And we could get into that if we have time, but this is so here we are looking at this secret folder that was kept on her husband Anthony Weiner's laptop. What it contained is a treasure trove of blackmail files to use against Bill and Hillary Clinton in the event that they ever came after her, Huma Abedin. Now here we go. New York Police Department sources said that these new emails include evidence linking Clinton herself and her associates to money laundering, child exploitation, sex crimes with minors, children, perjury, pay to play through Clinton Foundation, obstruction of justice, and other felony crimes. Now, this is Hillary Clinton they're talking about. And this was kept on Huma Abedin's file, or her husband's laptop, a treasure trove of blackmail files. Now, you can't make this stuff up.
No.
But it's there. So the New York Police Department detectives and a New York Police Department chief, the department's highest rank under commissioner, said openly that if the FBI and the Justice Department fail to garner timely indictments against Clinton and co-conspirators, that the New York Police Department will go public with these damaging emails now in the hands of the FBI Director James Comey.
You know what frustrates me about that is that if this is even remotely true, they should drop that bombshell like now. You know, they should have already dropped
it. After stuff going on for the reason that they didn't, you see. This is the deep state in control here. And the FBI, the past now FBI Director James Comey, there's a reason why that man was fired.
Yep.
And that's another side of this, okay? But this is a piece on what was in those emails when he was the director. And what he did was cover this up. And that's why he's no longer the FBI director. So people don't know that. He's out there whining and crying about President Trump and all that stuff. But when the truth comes out about James Comey, and it will, okay. Anyway, what's in the emails is staggering. Now, this is the words of the chief, the New York Police Department chief, says, "It's staggering, and as a father, it turned my stomach. There is not going to be any Houdini-like escape from what we found." And I have to emphasize that. There's not going to be an escape from what they have found. We have copies of everything. We have copies of everything. Copies, copies, copies. "We will ship them to WikiLeaks, or I will personally hold my own press conference if it comes to that." That's his quote. Now, they found State Department emails. They found a lot of other really damning criminal information, including money laundering, including the fact that Hillary went to the sex island, and that's that island that just recently, Jeffrey Epstein's island that was just recently had an earthquake, supposedly 4 point something, and the whole island, all the his temples there burned. Very suspicious, because there's a whole story about Jeffrey Epstein's island. So Hillary went to the sex island with convicted pedophile. Jeffrey Epstein is a convicted pedophile. This is not made up. He's already been convicted. Bill Clinton went there more than 20 times. And Hillary Clinton went there at least 6 times. Why would they go there with this Jeffrey Epstein to this so-called place where they have sex parties and cult things going on and worse?
Yeah, because you think that if those people were as influential as they are, as wealthy as they are, and basically in the circle of the nose, so to speak, that they would already know that if they went there and it got out, that they would be, you know, basically...
Well, you'd say common sense,
yeah,
right? If you're good people, you go, you know what, no thanks for the invitation.
So you either knew it and you just stupid went there anyway, or you knew it and you deliberately, either which way is not, you know, good for somebody to be in leadership role and be associated with such an organization, such a place. You see what I mean?
Right. So the amount of garbage that they found in these emails, okay, the New York Police Department, of criminal activity by Hillary and her immediate circle, and even by other Democratic members of Congress, was so disgusting that they gave it to the FBI, which they would normally need to do. And they said, "We're going to go public with this if you don't reopen the investigation and you don't do the right thing with timely indictments." Now, I believe, I know, and this is from a very well-placed source of mine at 1PP, One Police Plaza in New York City. That's what 1PP. The New York Police Department wanted to do a press conference announcing the warrants and the additional arrests that they were making in this investigation. So arrests have been made. Warrants and arrests. And they've gotten huge pushback. Now listen to this. to the point of coercion from the Justice Department.
Yep.
With the Justice Department threatening to charge someone that had been unrelated to the accidental heart attack death of Eric Garner almost 2 years ago. This is such a web. Okay, Seth Rich is involved with these particular information, who was also taken out in a very suspicious way. And by the way, just Google the deaths of people around Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, and it goes way back to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Before they were ever president and president's wife or whatever, or Secretary of State. Way before all that, they were into some dirty deeds, according to what the information's presented out there.
That's correct. So, the pushback was the point of coercion from the Justice Department. And I think Loretta Lynch is involved in that piece. They have actually proof that she wrote an email threatening them, coercing the New York Police Department. Okay, to not do this, to not disclose this, to not have this press conference. So, threatening to charge someone that had been unrelated to the accidental heart attack death. How could you have an accidental heart attack? I don't know.
Well, it's like the man falling back on the knife 40 times by accident, you know?
Or shooting himself while he was jumping off the bridge.
Yeah, in the back of the head.
So that's the level of pushback that the Obama Justice Department is doing against actually seeking justice in the email and other related criminal matters. Now, this was during Obama's presidency, folks. The Obama Justice Department put a tremendous amount of pressure on the New York Police Department in order to keep this information silenced, and as they anticipated, guess what? That Hillary Clinton would be elected president.
Do you remember the lady's name that basically supposedly verified Obama's birth certificate?
I don't remember her name, but you know, I find it kind of fascinating and very, very amazing to me that, and I've said this before, when Trump was running, he spoke things that were so on the money that I was like, whoa. You know, he said the government is corrupt. He said, you know, various things that actually we know are true. I mean, I knew the government was corrupt, but for a presidential candidate to stand up in front of the world and say this, and people went, this guy's crazy. When he said that Obama's birth certificate was fake, people went ballistic, said, this man is crazy. Now, you know what? Yeah, it's come out that the Obama is somebody entirely different, and boy, talk about blowing your mind. This is like, I don't even know what to say. It's like a bad movie, that we've all been duped. We have all been blinded by the light. So, now, fortunately for us, Hillary Clinton was not elected president, and now the Trump administration, listen to this, I know some aren't going to like it. I know many aren't going to like it, but now the Trump administration is slowly picking up the pieces of several scandals left in the wake of the Obama administration, most of which unsurprisingly involve crooked Hillary. Okay, a former Secret Service agent, Dan Bongino, that worked on Hillary Clinton's detail, chimed in with this tweet after the election. I've worked for Hillary Clinton for a decade, and two things are true. You know, so on and so forth. Let me see. Be careful. They're threatening people on emails.
Right.
I want to look into this thing.
All right. Her name was Loretta Fuddy, and she died after the Cessna Grand Caravan aircraft that she was
traveling. Oh, yeah. That's another one who bit the dust.
Yeah. Eight other people survived, which wasn't even a really bad plane crash. The plane was all still intact, and eight people survived, and she's the only one out of all those people that died. She should have been just fine. You know, like I said, the plane didn't come apart or anything. It just kind of landed on top of the water. So it's really super suspicious that after this birth certificate was verified by her, Now,
that's right.
You can't go back and try to question her, you know, put that's her on right, trial folks. Or under oath.
That's
or anything.
Right, folks. That's what yeah. we're talking about, evil. When I have said past year, I said something is behind these people who are doing great harm. And what I came to conclude was that it's evil. And this is where we're heading. And this is why it's so difficult for people, your ordinary people, good people, to really say this is true. Because we cannot accept this level of evil. We no. can't comprehend this level of evil that looking like your ordinary citizens or politicians or whomever's are doing such evil. How do you wrap your mind around this and say, wow, this, I see that this is real. Oh, wow, this is true. How does one wrap their mind around this? It's not easy, and that's why I'm saying we are going to be put to the test in our time here, because this is about evil. This is about light. This is about the dark and the light. This is about the you know, the battle of the dark and the light, okay? So here's this other link called Megapill, President Donald Trump's Accomplishment List. Nunes memo reveals FISA warrant obtained by omission. This is a big one. If you haven't looked at the FISA documents, if you haven't looked at anything about Uranium One, the sale of uranium by Clinton, it's just mind-blowing. So this memo reinforces what we already knew, that the Obama administration was riddled with corruption and our current Justice Department is asleep behind the wheel. Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid an FBI source, Christopher Steele, to create a fake Russian source document to overthrow the election of President Trump by accusing him of what they themselves just did, colluding with Russians to win an election. Okay, now that piece there, when that first came out, you know, I often get these messages, you know, like it's my instinct or the message from spirit or creator. When this all came out, that they said that Trump, you know, was accused of Russian collusion, I said, there's no way, no way, no way, no way, Jose. This is all fake. And now come to find out, yeah, it was all, you know, manipulated by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Here it is. They paid an FBI source, Christopher Steele, to create a fake Russian source document to overthrow the election of President Trump.
Well, see, I knew okay. there was something in the works before the election ever even got into play, because, first off, they didn't expect that Trump could even possibly win, but he started coming out saying things that they figured would get him not elected, but that resonated with the people. And so, you know, they got a surprise. But before the election, they were, you know, kind of nice to him. But then they were, the closer he got to looking like it was a possibility that he could win, was starting to, you know, do everything they could to discredit him, make him look stupid, and all this kind of stuff there. And so because of the mainstream media's actions towards Trump, that's why I started listening in closer to the things that he was saying. And he was saying stuff like Kennedy was saying back in the day, and so that kind of... You know, that was a
that's
plus.
That's right.
That was a plus for a lot
everything,
of people.
Everything that brought me to attention as well. And also I was noticing the uptick of the assaults against him, the false information, and the mainstream media screaming that he was this, he was that, he was a bigot, he was the, and all, so on and so forth.
Well, the first time he come up out of there and said that the mainstream media was the fake media, I come up out of my chair, man. I was like, woohoo!
Exactly.
That time somebody said it.
when he started saying this news and that news, they're fake news, I was like the same thing. I said, woohoo is right. Wow, this person. And like I said, there were things about this man that I, you know, did not appreciate. I did not like it, but I was looking at deeper things, and that's what we have to do. It's the first impression what a person looks like, you know, the hair. It doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't matter, but people glom onto that because that's what the mainstream media is pushing, making fun of people, ridiculing people, calling people this and that, and all because they're the deep state. They are the deep state.
Yeah.
Now...
Well, I want to say also, though, because even though I liked a lot of what he did say, is that, you know, I want to proceed with caution. I don't care who's elected.
Oh, you have to.
Now, I want to see what their actual actions are, you know, because everybody
Absolutely. Who's
in politics always says what needs to be said to
Absolutely.
Get them elected. It's after they get elected that you'll find out whether or not their true colors are going to show.
Absolutely. Well, I'm still questioning. I am still sitting, watching, and observing. I'm seeing more and more that there are the things that Donald Trump said are actually true. But I'm still looking and waiting to see because he is cleaning out the swamp, the deep state, and he is doing that. And he's setting things in place that are quite miraculous, like the North Korea and South Korea situation. Now, there's a peace for you. Now, they are sitting down to talk peace after 68 years. They've already met. But guess what? Donald Trump already met with Kim Jong-un prior to their present upcoming meeting that supposedly people think it's the first meeting, but it is not.
Did you also hear that after that Obama went over there as well?
Well, Obama's been on the trail trying to mess Trump up and everything else. And so the deep state was involved very deeply in North Korea, giving them money, laundering them money, and the money to do this nuke stuff and bombs setting off this and that. Now, I said to Patty, I guess it was when this first started to come out, that since November... Kim Jong-un sort of, that was the end. He no longer was setting off these threatening bombs, and this bomb is going to reach you, and that bomb is going to reach you. Those threats stopped. So the question was why. I was observing that, right? So, well, because the deep state was feeding them money, and now the deep state is deeply in trouble, and people are being taken down, and we have over 7,000 sealed indictments, that are unfolding incrementally, and this is another piece that people aren't paying attention to. But Obama was very involved with the deep state there in North Korea.
Yeah.
And he's been going around the country today telling other places, peoples, don't worry, we're going to have it in control. We're taking down Trump, right?
Well, there's one other thing that, because after listening to your guys' show and the way the direction that you took your show in on People for People yesterday, I think it was yesterday, anyway, nonetheless.
It was Friday.
Okay, Friday. So, nonetheless, there's one other thing that I want to point out is that we mentioned a while back about that video series Jericho, and in that video series, it was North Korea that was blamed for nuking several cities in the U.S. And so, my deal is not to fear people, but to keep that in the back of your mind, because if for any reason that this peace treaty between North Korea and South Korea goes awry, and suddenly they're saying that North Korea just nuked major American cities and such. You know, when you put these kind of people in the corner, when their backs are to the wall, they're going to pull every single dirty trick under the sun. And part of which, if you go into the conspiracy world of it and you look at 9/11, part of which there was lots of money that was involved that came up missing and an investigation that was ongoing, and then suddenly these buildings, every building that had any involvement in this money investigation, it was the exact target for every single part of all the evidence that was available to say that there was some black ops project funneling money somewhere, and we need to find out where it was going. So the part of the Pentagon that got hit, there were investigators and information in there, and Building 7, which didn't even get hit by a plane, according to the story, it went down. And the other two buildings, basically is going to hit the financial situation of the citizens, because this is where a lot of economy and Wall Street and all that kind of stuff, business takes care or whatever. And the number of people that were in these buildings that died because of this result, that would then in turn be blamed on a section of the world, you know, over in the Middle East, that just so happened had to, wanted to not be underneath the dollar anymore, wanted to have their own financial situation of being paid in gold, kind of like the Gaddafi scene, and the list that came out that had to do with CIA or whatever, special forces, I don't know, what the people that were saying that we're going to go into this country, and this particular timeline, and how everything played out. So in the conspiracy world, they did it in order to cover up a big, massive deal, and at the same time be able to give justification via getting the people of the U.S. riled up to want to go to war against somebody who would commit such an atrocity. And so the Jericho video is important, because what they showed in that movie, that North Korea nuked the U.S., and it broke the U.S. up into, there was like 10 separate presidents, and all these people fighting amongst each other, but it was the supposed good guys in the movie that turned around being the bad guys, and you finally realize this in the movie series when the actual school books were starting to be distributed out, and people who were teachers for long term were saying, wait a second, this isn't right. This isn't how history... Who wrote these books? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is why everybody needs to be ever vigilant and remember things like what we're talking about, what you've seen in the video series Jericho, because if you go back and look at all these different, whatever you want to call them, conspiracies, and you see that there was actually a movie at some time where somebody basically leaked a plan to do something to the people, and it just so happened to play out ironically like what that movie depicted in it, and with all these different types of supposed shootings going on and mass shootings and school attacks or whatever, there were always drills being played out or planned at that exact time. There just so happened to be the right people there at the right time to move all their equipment in. It's not like it was suddenly it was a surprise and you got to wait a little bit of time for, you know, people to show up. And then the fact that there were actual law enforcement officials in some of these incidents that didn't even go into the building when it was actually supposedly occurring for whatever reason. According to the conspiracy, they were given stand down orders, and you have to ask, by who were they given stand down orders? The Benghazi attack, they were supposedly given stand down orders as well. And all the people that were involved in these situations right now are also involved in those situations back then. You see what I'm saying? Life imitates art, and you the people out there have got to be discerning and vigilant, because even the good guy in this movie that we find ourselves in, even the good guy, you got to keep your eye on him, because the system is so embedded and it's twisted.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier, that spider web that's out there.
Well, that's what we're talking about. So we've been looking at this, Patty and I, going down many rabbit holes, as we've told you before, finding out these gems, stunning gems of information and collusion and deceit, lies, evil stuff that has been going on for centuries, way back even, like, well, you know, Kennedy spoke about this, and that's why he was taken out. He knew it. I think Eisenhower mentioned it, his speech too, about their knowledge, and even earlier, it goes way back with other quotes from other presidents and other people, good people who noted that there is a controlling factor. I can't remember, I'm just going to paraphrase here, but there were several politicians and very important people in the government years ago who said there is a controlling dark factor within our system, within our government, that is so terrifying that no one dares question it.
Yeah. And
now,
you know, military is out there. This thing that I mentioned earlier about Sun Tzu, 6th century BCE, was a Chinese general military strategist and author of The Art of War, an immensely influential ancient Chinese book of military strategies. These this modern-day military-industrial machine, they took note of this book. And
they did.
It said, if you know your enemy and you know yourself, you will not be imperiled in hundreds of battles. If you do not know your enemy nor yourself, you will be imperiled in every single battle, which is basically what the people of the world are in. The rulers of the world are using these tactics.
That's right.
To keep you going to fight each other.
And also, getting back to the deep state and the cults, these secret societies, the Illuminati in particular, know very well the people's minds and way to control them because they know themselves. And they have been using ancient knowledge and ancient wisdom that goes back so far, the psychology of people, how to manipulate, how to rule, how to brainwash, how to control, using frequencies and energies and various rituals, the powers of rituals. I mean, these things sound pretty much woo-woo stuff.
Well, it's not just that. It's like if anybody... If you tell the average Joe that somebody's out there hurting children, you're going to tug at their heartstrings, and you're going... People don't like anybody.
Well, that's another ploy.
Yeah.
And I knew that was going to happen. I said, okay, they're starting to attack the children. They're starting to use their manipulations to, MK Ultra mind control is a very deep and real... system. It's the monarch butterfly, the monarch mind control patterns that they use, that they work with. This is the deep state government. This is fact. We're not making this up.
No, it's scientifically proven. If you want to go out and look at modern day weaponry, look at some of the doggone machines that they got that are like for crowd control or whatever.
That's right.
They can sit there with a truck and actually got smaller handheld devices that they can use as well that they can shoot into a crowd, and they can cause, because they know the actual frequency range of the human mind, they can cause
that
person to either hallucinate or literally feel like they're on fire. This is
where it goes back to the frequency thing that we've talked about so many times, about the powers that we do have in relation to words, thoughts, emotions, acts, all have a frequency, have a specific energy, a level of a different frequency, right? Positive, negative, and so on. And they know this, and they know the power that we people have. And that's why they've manipulated us to keep us dumbed down, so we don't use that power, you see.
Yep. Well, some of the greatest chess masters out there in the deal, they know these tactics as well, and they get basically their own, the person that they're playing against, to fight themselves while they're playing chess. As crazy as that sounds, look it up. That's how they manipulate people.
In all factions, it's used. It's body language. It's various. It's just across the board. So why we're talking about the frequency, the power that we do have, and that they know we have this power, it was given to us by Creator. It's nature, it's our fundamental nature that we have been given, and free will comes into play. Our free will has a great power. What we focus on, we create, we manifest. What we believe, we manifest. These are powerful words, and they are factual. It's known to be true. And these cabals, these Illuminatis, and the dark people, the evil people, know this, and that's how they manipulate us.
Well, let me point one thing out real quick while it's still on my mind. There's a reason why that during your social media and your internet that they gather information on you, because like a chess player game, if you know what the knight will do, you know what the pawn will do, and all the different pieces of the chess pieces, you know what their powers are. All right?
Right.
Now, if you want to get the average Joe and you want to find the average Joes that is going to be the first one to jump into battle, you find the white knight of the average Joes, and you categorize them in one pile over there. And then when you need some warriors, those are the guys that you send the message to that somebody's hurting children or somebody's going to attack their family, because those are the first ones that's going to come to battle.
That is easy manipulation right there. Yep. And I'm not saying that. Here's the thing that got Alex Jones into trouble, and of course people, you have the mainstream media manipulating the things that Alex Jones says as well, because he's speaking a lot of truth. I mean, he's a very difficult person to observe. He's off the charts with his emotions. He's, you know, erratic. He's explosive, you know, and it's he doesn't make it easy. And but so he did say the big thing, I guess, was about the Sandy Hook, calling it a false flag. You know, now when you say a false flag, it means that it's a setup. It doesn't mean that there weren't lives taken. Okay, this is the piece that people get confused about.
Yep.
And he was accused, of course, of saying that those children didn't die. Now, I'm not saying they did. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying the confusion about a false flag, what that really means. But he was accused of saying that those children weren't murdered.
Well, and one other thing about that is when the actual mainstream narrative came out, there were things that just didn't add up.
That's correct. And that's why we look at it. That's why we look at it and we say, okay, false flag. The same thing with the recent one, Parkland shooting. There were so many things that didn't compute, so many confusing things and so many different perceptions and situations and things and that went down with the Parkland shooting and that boy, Cruz, what happened to that boy, that I leaned more towards that he was an MK Ultra.
Let me read out a quote real quick. This is from The Art of War. It says, "All warfare is based on deception. Hence, when we are able to attack, we must seem unable. When using our forces, we must appear inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we are far away. When we are far away, we must make them believe that we are near." Think about that.
But what you are describing is what QAnon is referring to as the particular, plan.
Well, if there was any verification of his authenticity, it would be that the words that he's using and the actions are mimicking what's going on in what I just read in The Art of War.
That's correct.
Right there.
Because so when you have a man who's put out by the mainstream media as a buffoon, as an idiot, as a crazy person, as a misogynist, and I'm not saying he's not a misogynist, I'm just saying what the mainstream media is putting out. When you want to take down someone, you say all kinds of things about them. You pull out the all stops, right? And when you have this man as a is President Trump saying the most bizarre things that people are saying when he says Obama was not a U.S. citizen, that's bizarre. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
And when he says that Hillary Clinton would be in jail,
yeah,
and people went ballistic, that's bizarre. That's like nasty stuff. How could this person, Donald Trump, say about this woman, Hillary Clinton? Everybody was up in arms about that. Now all this stuff is coming out about Hillary Clinton, and I do hope that she gets her due, you know, and all of them receive what's meant to come to them. Because the deep stuff, the dirty stuff that they are involved in, okay, so, you know, the Obama administration was riddled with corruption, and Hillary Clinton is a big part of this. And Bill and Hillary Clinton. And this is what's going to come out and more. So McCabe. So you have here none of the FISA documents. If you have to find the source of FISA documents, not with the mainstream media, because they only put out certain things and then they said it was all made up. You have FISA documents, legal documents that are here, written, I've got them right in front of me, legal documents, okay, but they're saying, of course, that they weren't true, but the Clinton machine and the FBI paid Steele to produce the dossier, even though it was known by McCabe, Rosenstein, and Comey at the time.
All right, let me point one more quote out here. This is going to blend right in with what you're talking about, and the reason why they haven't dropped this bomb on everybody right now. It says, also, in the practical art of war, the best thing of all is to take the enemy's country whole and intact. To shatter and destroy is not so good, so to... It is better to recapture an army entire than to destroy it. To capture a regiment, a detachment, or a company entire than to destroy it. Basically, what that says right there, if you think about people wanting to conquer the U.S., why would they want to drop a bombshell that would literally, quite literally, send the U.S. in complete and utter chaos to cause it to be destroyed? Then when they come in there, they got nothing. It's kind of like that Metallica song, you know, you blow everything up, then you're the king, all right, but you're the king and nothing. They would rather get our soldiers to surrender themselves peacefully and to get the citizens to do the same, to basically hand over their freedom in order for peace. You know, when you talk about order out of chaos, it doesn't have to be complete and utter chaos in order to get people to surrender their freedom. You understand what I just said there?
Yep.
So, if they was to drop that bombshell right now, out there on the public, you know the public's reaction would go ballistic. They would be gunning for every single politician and mainstream media, anybody that they believe to be involved. And you would have a mob mentality unlike anything you've ever seen in the history of time unfold here. And it would be complete and utter chaos. And the whole purpose of all of this scenario is to control your actions, to be able to specifically pick out the soldiers and get them to run in under the guise of patriotism and fight their enemies. So you are going to be manipulated to fight their enemies. You're going to be manipulated to fight each other. And in the process, while they're manipulating you to go over there to fight over there, they don't want to destroy the entire infrastructure of what they've already got going on, because this entire infrastructure keeps you giving them money, which in turn gives them more power. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's crazy, but this is the mentality of how these people think. This is why this old book that was written way back then in the, what did I say, 16th century BCE? Is that what that said?
Yeah.
6th century BCE. Chinese general wrote this deal, and these folks, they take, it's like a playbook. All right?
Right.
And secret societies, pretty much the same thing. They know how to manipulate people, but in order to manipulate somebody, you have to know your enemy, which to the deep state and to the secret societies, we the people are their enemy. We're also their slaves. That's the way they look at us. We're their cattle. And when they want their cattle to do something, they manipulate that cattle into doing something. And we, unfortunately, for generations, have fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. You know? We went to war with Iraq and all these different places over in Afghanistan for a guy who supposedly on dialysis in a cave, and at one point in time was buddy-buddy with the CIA. And these are, you know, stories that when you come out with these stories that touch on the touchy subjects, that's when they start saying, oh, well, you're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy guy, or you're not a patriot because you're either with us or you're against us. In reality, it was the truth, and it played out to be the truth, just like this stuff that Barbara's just sharing with everybody is playing out to be the truth. These folks are really into this trash, and they're getting by with it. They're still walking around because of the sensitivity of the information that has been presented. If they drop that bombshell on the American people will go thermonuclear overnight, and they can't control the reaction of the people at that time, because the people have blood in their eyes. You don't hurt children. You don't do the things that these people are doing. If it was you doing it and your neighbor saw it, you'd be so far under the jail, it wouldn't even be funny. But because of these folks' status and their financial and their connections, it is harder to take these people down than one would actually think. You look at the involvement between Joe Arpaio and the Obama birth certificate deal. He wasn't going out to say that he was a citizen. He was going out to investigate whether or not there was any fraud in this document. He was actually, to begin with, going out to clear the president with these documents. And what he found and the stuff that he came up against it and the prosecution that he got after it, they come after him, and they prosecuted him, and the president then in turn pardoned him after all that mess. But nonetheless, to try to bring to the table the facts that this man had a birth certificate that was obviously fraudulent, all right? And it's still on the whitehouse.gov today. The same exact document can be downloaded, can be brought into an older version of Adobe Acrobat, and you can see that it's obviously a fake. Now, why would you leave a fake up there if you wanted to keep it a secret? You leave the fake up there because if Obama ever got out of line and you wanted to take him down, all you had to do is prove it's a fake. That's it. And now this man is going to prison for treason. You know, or worse. So, these guys know what they're doing. These guys and gals involved in controlling this world via every single dirty tactic, not excluding frequency weapons or mind control or all this stuff. If you go back and look at some of the old declassified CIA and FBI and all these different alphabet soups and government documents, you will find out that back in the 50s and 60s, they were working on things that would blow your doors off. That why would the government be looking into it if it wasn't a possibility? You know, such as astral projectory, where they basically have a soldier who goes into some sort of a trance and can leave his body, so to speak, and see the battlefield before he ever even gets there to fight. So if you already know the battlefield before you get there, you already know what your enemy's plans are and that kind of stuff. They actually looked into stuff like that, where when you and I say it, it sounds like hoodoo voodoo. It sounds like some sort of, you know, crazy hack conspiracy stuff. But in reality, all these things that we keep talking about and the conspiracy world has been saying all along, chemtrails, they said, well, no, those are just contrails, and you were called everything under the sun. But in modern day, they're sitting there saying, yeah, we've been doing it, we have to do it. We started it, we can't stop. For some reason, it's, you know, it's at that point. And they told you that it was for a reason and such. So you gotta protect the planet from global warming, and in order to do that, you gotta make the planet cool down. Well, then when nature kicks up a volcano, now you got more cooling than you planned on. You see what I mean? So they don't know what they're doing, but they do know what they're doing when it comes to manipulation, and they take chances, they play games with the entire world, which involves you, the people. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, so, okay. I don't even know. There's so much that it just sort of like stops me in my tracks, because sometimes I have no words, because it's just stunning.
It's mind-blowing. You can't make this stuff up.
No, but we better pay attention.
Yeah.
We better not continue to ignore. And we better not be knee-jerk reactors that just jump into believing what we're told to believe. We have to start thinking for ourselves. We have to start doing our own investigations. We have to know this is quite serious. We have to really wake up to realize the manipulation and the mind control that has been going on for centuries, right from the get-go. You know, it's interesting because I've always said that we were never a democracy, you know, that there was always a hidden group of people. Now, this was just my own instincts, my own sense of things, you know. And I was thinking, you know, when the first, here on Turtle Island, the first settlers that came here who really started to organize this situation here with the Dutch, all over our country here, especially in Manhattan and various things through the Hudson Valley are have Dutch names, right? And they got along well, pretty well, with the Indian people here, in, with trade and various things and so on. Then you have the British, of course, starting to want to come in here and take over everything and colonize this country as their own, and the Queen's involvement and the Church's involvement, the Vatican's involvement, and the Papal Bulls, and putting out, you know, their manifest destiny. This country here was founded on manifest destiny, which is basically a cult of genocide. It's gives you the right under God's law, you taking this as your right under God's law, that if there are not Christians here, then it's sort of back to the Crusades. These aren't Christians, so let's just kill them. Let's commit genocide here, because that's what happened. Same thing here on Turtle Island. So this country was founded on that, but I'm thinking, okay, so you have these people that were here, settled in here. There were many people. The Dutch were sort of like, I guess, you know, heading this up, but there were other factions in place here. You have bankers, the corrupt bankers. You have that system, various other people. I suppose you could say then it was the deep state or deep staters or hidden, those that had a hidden agenda. And when we had our revolution, well, supposedly, they all left. Oh, they packed up their bags, and they had properties. They had owned property here. They had systems set up here, corporations already set up, the banking systems already set up from Europe and so on, the deep banking system, the deep staters, controllers. And they packed up their bags because the revolution occurred, and we wanted a free country. And they packed up their bags and all that stuff, and they went home, back to the Queen, with their tail between their legs. I don't think so. I think they just stepped back behind the veil, behind the screen, behind the curtain, and continued to systematically be involved in setting up a government here that was a part, still part of the deep state, back behind the scenes, and the controlling factors never left Turtle Island. We were never a free country, never a democracy. The deep state, the manipulators, the cabal, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I kind of feel that as well, because if you actually go back and look about the war that actually created the U.S. and, you know, Britain and all that kind of stuff, Britain might have realized that, you know, hey, they're tired of losing their general, so why not just let these people believe that they won and just infiltrate every aspect of their life and still be in control.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we were never, this was never a democracy, never a free country from the get-go.
Well, it's supposedly set up as a representative republic, and that's what I think it was. Benjamin Franklin, I'm probably misquoting it, but I'm not sure. One of them that came out there said, what kind of government have you given us? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. So he probably already knew that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, you have George Washington, you have these presidents who are Masons. They belong to these secret societies. And if you really look in the deeper areas and the darker places of these cults, these secret societies, they had their own agenda. They wanted to keep control. They wanted to control and manipulate the country and to create where we are today, which is heading for Agenda 21-2030.
Well, that's
one world order.
That's the thing, because even during the founding of the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all that, there were people that were still loyal to the king back in the day, or their own agendas that they knew physically they weren't going to be able to fight at this moment, but they weren't about to allow this to go, you know, basically unchallenged. So the best way to be, you know, like what the Art of War said, is that you're going to fight them without them knowing you're even fighting it, basically.
Well, you have, just taking this insurance policy here that Huma Abedin had against the Clintons, tons of information that would accuse, you know, take down Clintons just in case. She had this.
Yep.
So this is nothing new. There are people in this world that use things against others as a threat. If you don't do my bidding, this will be disclosed and this will destroy you. I can destroy you. This is nothing new. So you have this whole thing, you know, in within the system, within the cabal and the elites, you know, owning everybody and having everybody under their thumb. There's these insurance documents that that's what's happening. So, you know, it's sort of like some of these people, you see what's going on in our government. Why do you think all these people are resigning? Why do you think all these people are suddenly disappearing? I mean, you know, suddenly you don't hear about them anymore, you know? Whatever happened to that guy, Hogg?
Yeah, and another thing is that there's a lot of politicians that I've been watching on both the Republican and the Democrat who say that they're not going to run for another term. And why would they stop a career?
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Orion is, you know, he's resigning because he wants to spend more time with his family. But there's something on Orion, and there's something on these people that are dropping out left and right, and they're it's sort of like you take somebody in the back room, and you say, look, we have this information on you, and, either, you have two choices, you know, either you continue down the path you are, and we're gonna take you out, because we have this dirty stuff on you, or you can resign. Well, and get out of politics.
Here's one more to look into. Look into the boot conspiracy with John McCain and Hillary.
Oh, the boot conspiracy.
Yeah. These folks had boots because they supposedly either sprained their ankle or something like that, but John McCain made the mistake. He had it on one foot one day, and then it's on the other foot the other day, so which foot did he sprain? But what the conspiracy says is that they actually had those GPS devices, basically, like if you get under house arrest and you have this device that tracks you, and you got to report in at certain times because you're under indictment, and until you go to court, you're basically in jail, but you're out free, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's interesting things. This is quite fascinating when you get into this. So there's like Hillary Clinton, pedophilia, and ankle bracelets. Okay. Yeah. Pizzagate on steroids.
Yeah, well, if this is even remotely true, and there was a judge out there that allowed her to be out in the public, and they actually had the evidence that the New York Police Department supposedly has that and is actually supposedly circulating on the dark web, the fact that this evidence hasn't come to light, and even in the conspiracy world, they tell you, if you find this video and you decide you want to watch it, under no circumstances download it, because the mere possession of this material is a felony. And so while they're telling the conspiracy theory, they're scaring the person that you better, if you look at it, don't you dare download it, and don't you dare upload it to somebody else, or you're going to go to prison. And so this is man, if it's even remotely true, and there's a judge out there that allowed them people to actually walk free with that kind of evidence on the table in actual law enforcement's hands, there's something bigger in play than we know, because otherwise these folks wouldn't be out walking around with a boot and an ankle bracelet on, tracking their every move. So
well, it's kind of hilarious. I mean, of course, you know, whomevers are calling this conspiracy quackers, because, you know, but listen, you look at these pictures, so suddenly there's several senators, Hillary Clinton, John McCain, even Clinton's daughter wearing these boots on one foot. You know, it's like when you injure, well, Clinton said she broke her toe, fell down the stairs, broke her toe. Then the next thing, so she's wearing a boot. The next thing, she's at another interview, and she says she broke her ankle. One photo, you see McCain with the boot on his right foot, the next boot is on his left foot. So you have to say, well, what the heck's with the boots? It's like an ankle monitor, people are saying, you know. Then, of course, you have the naysayers who are saying that this is ridiculous. These are just conspiracy nutcases who are saying that, we're living in the golden age of conspiracy theory. So they make fun of us, okay, as we're nutcases. But you have to look at this. Why would Hillary Clinton suddenly be wearing a boot, and like within the next several days, John McCain is wearing a boot, which then moves to his left foot, back to his right foot.
Yeah.
Hillary's daughter and several other senators are suddenly they broke their toe? What?
Well, the craziest thing about all of this stuff right here, every bit of information that the conspiracy world keeps talking about, was this information didn't come from the conspiracy theorists themselves. This information came from mainstream media, came from government officials and stuff like that. It came from all kinds of research. So somebody put this information out there on the table, whether to deceive or whether to inform. There's another conspiracy right there. You know, are they putting it out here to deceive you, or are they putting it out to conform? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you have even you have the Washington Post noting that McCain suddenly his boot has changed from one foot to the other.
Yeah,
and they're like, Democrats wearing ankle monitor bracelets. Okay, that's what the big. The big thing is here.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the proliferation of fake news that emerged during the 2016 presidential election is still growing. It's much worse than you imagined. Yeah, it's bad. On the internet, you can now find a whole mess of conspiracy theories surrounding Russia, President Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton. And now there's a hashtag for one involving many, many layers. It's called Follow the White Rabbit. This line is taken from Lewis Carroll's book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, and it's also appeared many times in pop culture. Neo in The Matrix, right? It was told to follow the white rabbit.
Yep.
But what happens if you follow the white rabbit on Twitter? Huh. You fall down a very convoluted wabbit hole. We're talking about wabbits.
Yes. There's actual photographic evidence of John McCain with the boot standing next to generals and some other people, and then he's actually sitting in a chair next to a lady. I don't know if that's supposedly his wife or whatever, but he's got the boot on the other leg, and so he's got one of them roaming foot aches, I guess. But when a person with common sense looks at it, it's questionable. But when a person of common sense speaks out about it, then that's when the mainstream media and all that, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Now, wait a second. Do I believe my eyes? What I see right here, it was on that foot. I'm not stupid. I remember seeing it on that foot, and now it's on that foot. That's how conspiracy theories get born, folks. The mainstream media is their worst enemy because they are not detailed enough, or if they are detailed enough, they're doing it intentionally to muddy up the water, so to speak. But if they put out this as a video feed or a picture or whatever, and then somebody questions the inconsistency of it, their go to is that you're a crazy tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut. Which, if to everybody else who's ill informed or uninformed or whatever, then you would look like crazy for mentioning it. You know, it's like the moon landing. Oh, everybody we know is with the moon. Everybody knows the earth is round. Everybody knows whatever, you know. That's the whole deal. The indoctrination from the time that you were a child all the way up to the present day and on into your rest of your life, these folks have learned every single tactic in order to manipulate your mind into believing certain things and other things be taboo so that you can't say or whatever. Or otherwise it's now a hate crime. Now, if there was ever an example for George Orwell's 1984, then modern day society is a great match to it. And the whole Twilight Zone issue, you see this this picture that I'm looking at right here with John McCain's boot on one leg and his boot on the other, it's like you hear the theme music to the Twilight Zone. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What's going on here, you know? Yeah, I thought he hurt his left leg. It's on his right leg now, or vice versa. But they put this information out there by either intentionally or even inadvertently by accident. And then when those people who are alert and paying attention to detail, that's one of the things they used to say in the military, attention to detail. That's what saves your life in wartime. That's what basically makes you victorious on the battlefield, is you're paying attention to everything that's going on, even the smallest details, such as, you know, somebody out of the corner of your eye walking by looks perfectly harmless, but that's the person that's got the gun or the bomb strapped to them. You see what I mean? This is what they know.
Well, I'm going to say that, again, I'm going to say we're going to be coming to a very difficult time. It's going to really test us, test our ability to think for ourselves,
yep,
test our ability to basically discern, and this is about discernment, discerning truth from lies.
Well, that and attention to detail is key. That's it. To be able to discern, you need to pay close attention to detail, kind of like what you and Patty's been doing with your trip down the rabbit hole. You guys proceeded with caution, knowing that you're going to take everything with a grain of salt, but you also found details that other people might have otherwise overlooked.
That's correct. But when you, let's talk about discernment, because to me, discernment is a tool that everyone was given, but when you are, using your so-called intellect or what you, have read, or what, you know, you're met by with certain people or mainstream media, whomever is talking to you, no matter who it is or what circumstance it is, you have what is called, what I call, the discernment truth meter inside of you.
Yep.
It's not an intellectual process. So you're hearing someone say something, or you're watching a mainstream media newscaster saying something, you're listening to what they're saying, and you are not paying attention with your truth meter, with your discerning tool. What you're doing is you're listening to what they're saying, and your mind is taking it in, and you're figuring out, you're watching the mouth, basically it's like you could listen to somebody and they could be sincerely speaking to you. It looks heartfelt. It looks real. And then they're showing you this, or they're saying that they have proof and they know that this is real and those people over there are lying, and you believe, right? You would believe them because they come across as sincere.
Yeah.
You can't imagine that they would be lying to you because they have certain body language and they look nice and they wear a tie and a suit or whatever.
Well, with that said, there's one thing quick to point out here is the seed of doubt. Those folks that are like acting that way towards you and seem to be trustworthy, all they got to do is plant the seed of doubt in your mind, and you'll question your own beliefs because you won't know whether or not it's right or wrong.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you have an ability within you. It is a God-given tool. I call it the truth meter or the discerning tool, but it's not a thinking process. It's a feeling that you get.
Yep.
You can call it your intuition. You can call it a gut feeling. But when Patty and I go down these rabbit holes, we go down with our truth meters wide awake.
Yep.
Okay? We go down with an alert awareness of we're entering into a systematic, a dark hole, rabbit hole that is going to give us lots of information, and we have to be on top of this. We don't say, oh yeah, this is true. No, we discuss that fact that we've come across. And we have a sensory perception, and then we go further, and it links to something that leads us to further say, yeah, this is a possibility, and then we go further until we find all the tentacles, and we say, yeah, that is a piece that is real, or no, that's not. But it's not a, so what I'm saying is, you're going to be told, things are going to come out, and they are slowly coming out, and already the mainstream media and the naysayers are ramping up. You can go on, and you can just Google conspiracy theories, rabbit holes, blah, blah, blah. Now they're even using rabbit holes tags. And they're going to laud all this nutcase. Link after link after link will name the Seth Rich conspiracy theory. They will link the Huma Abedin dossiers and all this stuff, Clinton, the Pizzagate. They're going to say all of this is a conspiracy. Well, see, these nutcases took this tragedy, Parkland shooting, this tragedy, and they're making a conspiracy out of it. That's what you're meeting today, and it's going to get worse because what's coming out is going to really spin you. And I guess it's up to every one of us to either settle down, really look at the whole piece here, and really use your discerning truth meter tool rather than just believing in what you are being told.
That's true. The most powerful secret society in the existence and the history of time. Right now, the majority of the members don't even know they are a member of this secret society because you don't hear about them. And when you do hear about little remnants of them, they're called tinfoil hat wearing conspiracies. They're called crazy people.
Well, they're making sure that they're pushing this. They've been doing it now because they know what's coming, because they know the truth is coming. So they have to basically set people up, the population up, to be on their side and believe what they're saying.
That's
and they
it.
Do a good job of it. It's really quite stunning to me how people can't see beyond the tip of their nose and are unwilling, it seems.
Well, you kind of mentioned it earlier. The reason being is because a lot of people don't like to leave their comfort zone. Like the very first time that I saw a deal that said somebody was doing things like what was supposedly a video circulating on the dark web where they literally cut this child's face off and was wearing it like a mask, that's something you'd see on like the old Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. That was, if you've never seen that movie,
don't watch it. People don't want to know this. People don't want to see this. People don't want to say, wow, that's real. But it is possibly, and I'm leaning more towards it because I have seen let's look at this.
Well, hold on a second. That video, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, was actually inspired by a real family called the Sawyer family.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Look at the news every day. Every day. Listen, there's a rise in cannibalism. Your ordinary citizens, people that could be your neighbor, okay, arrested for cannibalism.
Oh, not to mention that mainstream guy who just came out and talked about the new clean meat, where they were talking about taking human cells and growing them to make clean meat. That's disgusting, man.
And also using, but I'm saying, this is your ordinary daily news, folks. People are doing things to other people and to babies and children in your ordinary news, your ordinary neighbors, not the political people.
Yeah.
We're just seeing news, daily news, where people are doing things that are just stunning. And this was actually, I was told that we would see. And now I'm really realizing, oh, I just said this, and it just came to me. Wow. I mean, it's like, you know, when spirit speaks to you, I got chills. I was told in a prophetic way years ago, I spoke about this, that we would be coming into a time of chaos, that we would be coming into a rising behavior of people that would stun us and shock us. And I just put the piece together here. So I just saying, okay, your ordinary citizen is doing horrible things, you know, terrible things, shocking things, stunning things, just on a daily basis.
Well, that's where people
now,
did not
but what
think
I'm
it's
really
possible.
Pointing to, but wait, but what I'm really got the piece here, that's mild.
Yeah.
That's mild compared to what the political people, what the people here, the Hollywood people, the cult, the political stuff, the deep state stuff, all what we see on the daily news that people are shocking us with, guess what? It's mild.
Yeah.
We're really going to be stunned.
That's
now.
Because
are you going to handle it?
They believe themselves to be untouchable because their financial status or their political or their connections or whatever that they got.
Oh, I feel they've sold their soul to the devil.
Probably that as well. I mean,
I want to emphasize this piece because when I was told that we would see stunning things, shocking things, behaviors of people that would just floor us, stun us, shock us to such a degree, unbelievable, unimaginable stuff. I'm relating it to your daily, cannibalism that has been spiking, and the violence and the things that are being done to babies and children in your ordinary public daily news. Now I'm equating it to, hold on, that's not what Spirit was saying. Spirit was saying that, but Spirit was saying this is going to be rising, and now we come into this place where we're seeing all this stuff about the deep state, Pizzagate, pedophilia, and these cult things like the New York Police Department, what they saw on this video, if that's factual, we'll find out. And so on is going to really stun us, people. And how are we going to handle this? Are you just going to turn away, get back on your couch, your comfort zone, and say, this can't be true? Those people that I know as our upstanding citizens.
Well, let me say something.
Just like the Hollywood people, upstanding citizens that everyone wants to emanate. Now you see what's going on.
Let me say something from experience. I remember back in the day when I first got involved going down the rabbit hole and studying up conspiracies. My world turned upside down. I mean, I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, freaking out. I mean, if this is real, we've got serious problems, and I went into full combat mode. I was going to protect my family at all costs, man, and you want to talk about paranoia. I was looking out the shades, window shades of the curtain, seeing if anybody's out there spying on me, all that kind of stuff. And if I hadn't figured out a method by which to get control and to step back and have that discernment that we've been talking about, and to be able to, process this information, they would have had to lock me up in a crazy house, and it would have been really super easy for them to lock me up in a crazy house, because I would start telling them all these conspiracies, and the mainstream media has already told everybody, if people talk like this, that they're crazy, and so it would have been easy for them to put me in a nut house. Because I obviously have to be nuts. I think that maybe people might be lizards or whatever, you know. This guy's lost his doggone mind, but...
Well, admit it. You're a conspiracy nutcase.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I am too. And there are those that are going to hold our feet to the fire.
But it was their mind control or their information that put me in the scenario that I was. Because if you think about what we just mentioned earlier about how, that through social media, whatever I look at on the deal is they start to profile me. And so here recently, I've been messing with the artificial intelligence. I've been actually going out and Googling just random crazy stuff like, pink polka-dotted ducks and stuff like that, you know, and just crazy stuff. Things that have absolutely nothing to do with things I'm interested or believe in. And I'll be doggone if I ain't getting advertisements for crazy stuff. And it's right there on my YouTube. When I watch YouTube, I'm watching things that I had just Googled up come up in the advertisements they want to sell me. That's how meticulously these folks have documented information about the average Joe out there. You think they're not profiling you? They don't know. Do you think they don't know that if the things go their way, which people to round up and put into which places together? You get all the white knights in this one particular deal, and you say, look, you're going to be in prison for life, or you could actually work for us and go out there and fight against this evil that, you know, they perceive this to be the evil, but they're the ones that's doing the evil. You see what I mean?
Yeah, so listen to this. Here's one for you. Did you know that Nancy Pelosi owns a pizza shop called Goat Hill?
Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
With a goat head, with a goat head for its logo. Think Baphomet.
Yeah.
So you can see that. It's real. This is true. But why a goat head signaling Baphomet? Goat head Baphomet.
Yeah.
Do you know what's happened to, I don't follow these people, but do you know what's happened recently to Kanye West?
I was getting ready to look at a video yesterday about that particular subject, but you might want to go ahead and just, you know.
Well, Kanye, I don't follow these rappers and these people, this whole scenario, but I was interested, suddenly Kanye West is buds with Trump.
Yeah.
well, something happened, and I found, I went into it, and I said, so something happened here. Kanye West, I think, is married to Beyonce.
Who's also okay. In the Illuminati, right?
What?
Who was earlier in the Illuminati?
Well, he was involved, but he was brainwashed, basically, and he got free, but he's having a thing with Jay-Z. Again, these people are like out of my realm, but I was looking at all this stuff and thinking, wow, so what Kanye West did, he got on a big concert and he started talking about the dirty stuff that's going on. He started talking about the killers that are involved with Jay-Z and don't send your people to kill me, let's talk, bro. And he was doing all this stuff in front of an audience, acting kind of weird and
stuff.
I did
see that video. Several weeks or maybe even a month or so back, I saw that video where he was on there and he was saying that stuff while at a concert of his.
Well, yeah, but so what happened was a very dear friend, very close person with him, what happened was Kanye West was taken forcibly to a psych ward. And she said that it was strange because he was she said he was acting like he was drugged.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, but somebody drugged him, and apparently they deliberately threw. Now this was he's equating this to Jay-Z as a threat, as a warning. If you don't shut up, we're going to take you out. Of course, it's not just Jay-Z; it's the deep state, because that's where he was hedging towards. And so he was put in a psych ward against his will, and the very dear friend, she was saying how he was acting strange. It seemed like he was drugged. He never acted like this before. And mysteriously, he was thrown in a psych ward. But when he got out of the psych ward, apparently something, occurred that he went to President Trump because he was terrified for his life because that threat hit him hard. He or his family, and both or all, were threatened by this group. I'll say the deep state or whomever is controlling these things. And he went directly to President Trump and told him that he was terrified for his life, and he disclosed everything that he knew. Okay? And he basically then he put out a tweet where he said that he was free, he was no longer afraid, and he was no longer in there was a word he used, and I can't remember the word. I'm going to say deep hole, but it was a different phrase, which links to the systematic cult, a system of cult, okay, mind controllers. So he said he was free, he was no longer afraid, okay, and this was, now he's side by side with Trump, because he went directly to Trump. This is pretty big, and then you have the other performer there, John Legend, who's apparently involved with Clinton. He's a performer who, millions of dollars, he was performing to gain millions of dollars for her Haiti, Save the Children, whatevers. And nobody knows where this money went. The money's disappeared. And it involves Hillary Clinton with child trafficking from Haiti. I mean, again, this is another one of those wacky rabbit holes that when you start going down, again, it's like, wow. But one of Clinton's aides or workers was just arrested at the border for trafficking children, Haiti children, because the Haitian children are, they're on the streets. They're in a disaster, still in a disaster mode there. So you have all this stuff going on, but I thought this was interesting about these Hollywood people, you know, Kanye West, Beyonce, his wife, was also threatened when she was attacked in her hotel room, beaten up and threatened. By the way, she was really hurt, and this was around that time that he was exposing all this stuff out in public, and she was supposedly robbed of her jewels, but she was tied up and she was threatened and beaten up. And that was another threat from the so-called controllers, deep state, whatever, to keep these people in line. You know, the whole Hollywood scene about these people are in involved, and this recent arrest of this young woman who was involved in that other cult up here near Albany. She's an actress, and she was trafficking people where they brand people with a hot iron. I saw the brands. I saw the pictures of it. I mean, you people out there, you think that this is a bunch of nutcases here.
Well, you
want
to know something that's scary about that particular deal you're talking about? Was that because of the circumstances that they found themselves in over there in Haiti, there were families that were actually giving their children to people that they thought were going to take care of them.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't get on the train, folks.
Don't get on the ship. Don't get on the train. Don't get on the plane. Don't get on the bus. So there we are. So where's Patty? She was going to come in. Is she there?
Hi, Patty.
Hey, guys.
We exposed the most powerful secret society on the planet here on the Knights of the Round Table.
Well,
most of the members don't even know they are even members, but unfortunately, because they are humans, they are actual members.
Yeah, they think they're paying dues to the charity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm just sitting back here listening.
Well, we have quite literally.
I never talk.
We have quite literally taken our listeners on a roller coaster ride of ins and outs of the rabbit hole and how to, buckle up for safety and be wise about what you see and, you know, take everything with a grain of salt and use discernment and all those words like that. The thing about it is, you know, I started to show off, there's a method to my madness. It might sound crazy, but there's a point to the whole deal. I started off talking about all these secret societies. We actually went down a list, a long list, which actually seems to get longer the more you look, the more secret societies you find. But the most powerful one of all is one that doesn't even really know it exists. It is a secret because you don't understand if you're basically indoctrinated into believing the government is all powerful and you ask Big Brother for permission to do things, you don't understand your true power. And so you don't even know that you actually have that power, and you've been manipulated into basically using the tactic that they did Sun Tzu's Art of War. They're playing you against each other. They are profiling you. They're putting you in all the white knights in this section because those are the first ones to run into battle. All the ones who are going to follow blindly are in the sheep pile and so on down the line. They know where they want you, and they use just like playing a chess game. You put your pawns up there first, all right? You keep all your generals to the back. It ain't like the old where these two armies would come together and the generals would be leading the charge. No, after a point, they got wise and said, oh, they're killing the generals first, and we ain't got no control, so let's keep the generals at the back, and we'll send all the little peons, the average Joes, in first, and they'll kill each other because we already got them hating each other. And, you know, for every atrocity that is perpetrated in war, that makes each side madder at each other. And these folks, they know this. And that's what they use against the people out there. The CP group that actually exists and has existed for thousands of years. They were in tribes. They were in villages. They were all over the place. They were you, the listener out there. You were the actual secret society, the most powerful one. That is kept the biggest secret, because if that secret ever got out, it would be just like what the grasshopper explained to the ants in A Bug's Life. Those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And when they realize that, our way of life is going to change. Well, folks in the CP group, you outnumber them 1,000,000 to 1, if not 1,000,000,000 to 1. And the moment you realize that, that's when all these deep states and all these secret societies and all these corporations and government entities that you despise because you see two sets of rules, one for you and one for them, that's when their lifestyle is going to change. That's when instead of them eating caviar and drinking fancy champagne, they're sitting down there at a table lesser than yours and they're eating butter and bread along with you, and they ain't the king anymore. They want to remain the king. And in order to remain the king, they're willing to sell their soul to quite literally the devil and do all kinds of dirty deeds. And at some point, when they get that drug of power in their body, they want to try anything. Whether it be cannibalism or child pedophilia or all the crazy stuff that they believe that they're untouchable for, but the same people that allow them to act in the way that they're doing, which would get the average Joe thrown under the jail or even at the hangman's noose or the guillotine that day for getting caught. No, these people that are enabling all these people that we're talking about have so much dirt on these people that they know if they ever get out of line, they're done. They're done, because then the system would feed them to the wolves. They would feed them to the average Joe who it will not tolerate that stuff. If you knew the things that were going on behind the scenes of your local government agencies, you would be at every single meeting. Because everything that they decide there, it affects you, it affects your children, your family, your children's future, and so on down the line, and it eats away at your freedoms on a regular basis. You are your worst enemy because you're not understanding what Sun Tzu said in his Art of War. You don't know your enemy. And so you're going to be in every single battle because you don't know your enemy. What do you guys think? I blew your doors off again, didn't I?
Well, I've already been talking here for almost 2 hours, so I'm interested to hear my sister.
I'm having fun in the chat and setting up. I'm being crazy because I only have one cup of coffee.
Well, the rest of the world's out there playing Duck Duck Go or Pokemon Go and...
You know, I saw in our local, they send a local flyer out here that lets you know what the month's activities are in the community, right?
Yeah.
And you know they have a Pokemon thing at the library twice a month?
Wow. Well,
yeah.
If you look into the symbology of Pokemon and some of these card games that the kids play these days, you'd be shocked. I mean, maybe some of the symbology was hijacked over the time. They might have had a different meaning at certain points, but these folks, they know the meaning of it. And in all the cartoons that you watch, you should sit down with your children and actually pay really close attention to the cartoons, because some of the things that they say and do in there, if you're of any type of spiritual belief or something like that, and these cartoons are quite literally guiding young minds into a direction specific to saying this is acceptable or this is okay or whatever, and you really don't want to raise your child like that, if you're not paying attention, this system will teach your kids how to be the best of the best of the dark ones, quite literally. And I don't say that to be mean to anybody, but if you're not paying attention to what your kids are being fed or watch and stuff like that, you might as well have just threw them to the wolves. That's the world we find ourselves in.
Yeah, if you look at just the games that are being put out for kids, many of them deal with the occult. There's occult symbolism in the games, and the characters are made from occult people and things like this, and the children don't even know, and they have to go through some of these games and find these glyphs and put these glyphs together and cast these spells. And I've often wondered when I see stuff like that, you know, is this some way that they are creating in the minds of the kids and the adults who play these games? Is it possible that this is somehow providing energy to this this magic or whatever, you know?
Well,
I've often wondered that.
One thing to add to that, now I need to leave you ladies alone for a second. One thing to add to that is that in all these movies that have to do with magic, they always say one phrase, and people really need to pay attention to. Magic comes at a price. Every magic comes at a price, whether it be good or bad. It's almost like what we was talking about where, you know, your actions have consequences. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I understand that very well. It's just the, you know, it's all so innocuous. It's just a game, Mom. It's just a game, you know, and it's easy. If parents aren't cued into this, which a lot of parents aren't, they don't go back through the histories and follow the rabbit hole back that far and know about all this symbolism. Most of the people here that there's Masonic lodges, they're for good. These guys are good guys. They come in there, you know, in the towns, they go and join the parades and everybody cheers. You know, they don't understand the history behind it because even the people who are in it don't even understand it till they get to a certain level. That's how they do this. They only give you a part of the puzzle. They only give you a piece of the puzzle. And they're not going to give you the whole picture because that would ruin their thing, you know? And it's the same thing like you were talking about with the pedo gates. All of this is getting ready to come out. It is getting ready to come out and people in high places are getting ready to be burned. And it's a good thing. Will that stop it? Do you really think if they take the major players out and disband, disrupt this whole trade, sex trade thing, do you really think that it will actually stop it? Or will it spring up again? The people who create these systems, the people who create these mindsets in these elite, they're not going to jail. They're not going to be charged. Those are the ones that are sitting behind the curtain. You know, this is what we need to do is become, we need to become the power. We need to become the police, so to speak, to where we can't wait for governments to find this out and charge these people. We can't wait for courts and investigators to find these things out. They would never have found this out had the people not been guided to bring this stuff out. So it's up to us again, you know? It's up to us. We have to stand up and say, I don't want this guy around my child. I don't want this woman around my child. I don't want my child going to this daycare center or this pizza parlor and be loud about it and be vocal about it. Because that's your child, or that's your neighbor's child, you know? That's how they get away with this, is people, they don't want to, oh, I don't want to say anything, what if I'm wrong? You know, I would rather err on the side of protecting my child than I would to err on the side of caution when it comes to that, you know? Just saying. Make a noise.
I think that's the point, good point you made there. Again, it's the comfort zone, you know. If I step out of this comfort zone and say something, you know, what will happen to me, you know, I might be causing a ruckus or people might not like it or I'll be politically incorrect, you know. So, you know, people just hide rather than taking a stand or a strong stand, you know.
Well, and even with us, we're finding ourselves having to quite literally walk on eggshells to bring to light information that was presented to us, whether it be through some sort of psyop or whatever. But in order for us to be able to speak about it, we're trying to deliver the information so that people will pay attention in a best respectful manner, not to try to fear anybody, but to try to inform them of things that they should keep an eye out for. But we find ourselves apologizing for even having to say this kind of stuff, because even the indoctrination infected us to the extent that now we know it's a taboo to say there are certain things going on in this world. And so walking on eggshells, trying to present information, knowing for a fact that you're going to come under attack by the same people you're trying to help, that's a tough task. And for us to actually, you know, put ourselves out there on the line to say the things that we've been saying, see, we don't know all the truths of everything out there, but the least that we're doing is looking into it to find out whether or not this is true, because if half of what they're saying is going on out there, our world is in one serious situation. And if there's children out there being treated the way that these people are saying, and that this stuff is coming to light right now, and this chaos is getting ready to unfold, their reaction, the people's reaction, is going to determine whether or not mankind ever survives what's about to come unfolding on us. I said this to my wife a while back, because we got strong spiritual beliefs. I'm holding my spiritual belief in this hand, and I'm holding the world in that hand, and I'm looking at the two, which one do I go with? Well, mine seems to resonate with me more, so I'm staying on my spiritual belief. But here's the thing, if everything comes out like what the Book of Revelations talked about, or even what some of the doomsday prophecies come talk about, if everything plays out like the one world government deal where you're going to get microchipped and all that, how strong is my spiritual belief when I start to see that my family is suffering? Will I bend my beliefs in order to save my family? Because if I did, I would only be fooling myself, because I would not only lose myself, but I would lose my family in that mess. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. I was waiting for Sis to pick it up there.
Well,
actually,
I'm just
perusing through the Operation Mind Control.
If I accept a chip to feed my family, they're going to get my family if they want my family. And if my family submits, you know, if they find themselves weak and they accept the chip. I'm just saying the chip because everybody's talking about the mark of the beast or whatever. You know, one world government, cashless society, all that kind of stuff. But if I accept that, basically go ahead and submit to the dark side, and I accept that in my arm just so that I can take care of my family, what's to say if I'm not strong enough to reject it, that my wife would be stronger and be able to reject it? You see what I mean? So, going into this mess, the odds against you that if you don't stick to your beliefs, if you don't stick to your guns, so to speak, then you might as well just hang them up. You might as well just give them up. You might as well just lay down to evil and just say it's over. That's why I don't subscribe to, even in the book that I reference all the time, that it's all written in stone and that it's all woe is me and doom and gloom and there ain't nothing we could do about it, because I think that the higher plan, which basically is like the QAnon of the U.S. going on there, the higher plan knows something that I don't know, and I have to keep my faith, if that makes any sense.
Well, you have to know also, you have to pay attention, because the Mark of the Beast has already been rolled out. It's in use right now. And I don't mean that like everybody comes out every couple of years and say, oh, here's the chip and that. No, it's been rolled out for real in China. So you can see exactly what is going on when they say that no man may buy or sell except they take the mark. Well, in China, they have actually introduced this mark, and it's a credit score, right?
Yes.
And if you aren't high enough on that credit score, you can't get on a plane, you can't get on a train, you can't travel, you can't buy certain items, you don't have the permission from the state, from the country of China, to do so. So this is where this is coming from. And if you've been paying attention with the UN, China's policies, China's way of doing things is being heralded as the way to go.
Yeah. This is about good behavior.
Yeah.
But if you behave according to their rules.
Right. You behave and you jump through the right hoops and you do exactly what's expected of you, then you get a reward.
Yeah,
if you don't...
You are a good citizen, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, but the question is, who makes the rules?
Well, this is the whole point. This is what we're saying.
China's making the rules.
That's right.
Yeah.
Their government is making the rules. They have a system that has set up rules, and they're... Some of them... I mean, if you happen to post something or write something that they think is against them or their policies or whatever it may be, you get a mark.
Oh, we have a question in the chat.
Yeah.
Question for the panel. If we all agree that we must all come together and have no differences and no borders, does that not fall into the trap of what is being planned for mankind?
No.
Okay, you guys, I want to answer this, but you guys go first.
The difference to me is in basically our reaction. See, I ain't talking about us coming together under some one world banner. I'm not talking about it under some one world religion or some one world financial system. What I'm talking about is something more powerful than all those combined, and that's an idea. You know, you can't kill an idea. Once an idea is out there in public, once Pandora's box is open, if the people out there understand how corrupt the system actually is and understand that that system is waiting for a reaction, it's how the people decide to react. And these conversations that we're having amongst each other, that's the one world idea that I am talking about. Because we're the ones out there exposing the people behind the scenes. And we're the ones with the power to actually hold their feet to the fire with the way that we spend their money or the way that we vote in their elections and stuff like that. And the way that we actually observe and make sure that those elections aren't tampered with, that kind of stuff. The power that I keep talking about, that the people actually have, is the same power that grasshopper was trying to tell those other grasshoppers about the ants. The ants were doing all the work for the grasshoppers. They were bringing them all the food, and they were providing protection for the ants, all right? But in the same sense, they were doing to the ants the same thing that governments do to us every single day. And if those ants realized that they didn't have to tolerate that and that they could keep all their hard-earned food and stuff, then those ants would no longer follow the grasshoppers. And because they outnumbered the grasshoppers so much, that those grasshoppers would lose their power. That's the key. This is not falling into the one world government, because we're not talking about establishing a form of government. We're talking about an ideology spread amongst the people that are for the people. Just like if you go down there and you scroll underneath the chat room and you look at People for People's logo right there, it says right there in there, and it's self-explanatory. People for people. All right, these people that rush into all the disasters out there are the average Joes. They don't go in there under the guise of a badge or a government agency or anything like that. They go in there as citizens, as brothers and sisters, and they help their fellow brothers and sisters, some of which they don't even know. Some of which are different colors than them, or different beliefs of them, or whatever, but they don't care. That's the only thing they see. They don't see color or political views. They see a human, and they go in there to help them. That is the one world society that I'm talking about. That is where the secret society, the CP group that's been around for thousands of years, that's where their power is derived from, is those individuals like that.
Well, there will always be somebody popping up in a group, whether you think you're coming together to create good things, to manifest good things. There will always be somebody popping up to say, well, I have an idea, and this is what I feel. And, you know, again, I think you have to use your discernment tool. How does that feel? Is it for the good of the whole? You know, it's not that we won't have differences. We certainly will have differences. But I think it's about, you know, working through the differences and finding the best for the common good, and specifically keeping in mind that everything we do today is going to affect the next coming generations.
Yep.
But there will always be somebody that's going to pop up that's going to have a negating idea, and they're going to push it, you know. And again, the people in that community or in that group have to have a tool or a way to sit together and discern this particular piece, and to come, you know, work through it as they did in the way of the tribal communities. Is you could sit there, and they still do it today, and the Kogi people could sit for weeks and discussing a topic. Ultimately, they all have the same goal, is to create harmony and balance within the system.
Yep.
So you have to discern, is this harmonious? Will this be balanced? You know, together, collectively, this, I think, has to be the goal. There will always be someone who feels they have a good idea, but it may not be workable for the good of the whole. Again, this takes a certain, I guess you'd say, interpretation of what is that? What is the good for the whole? What is that going to be? So it is a lot of work, but I do think that this could be a trap. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It may very well be a trap. We may be heading for another trap, and that's why we're saying we're not completely, you know, well, we're sort of looking, we're observing, you know. We're not completely sold on this, what's going to be happening here, what's coming out, because I feel that there is still an agenda, and who's heading up this agenda? Who is it that, after all the deep state dirty doers, pedophilias, and whatever, like Patty says, is it going to stop it? No, there's still going to become droves of people coming up behind who are sick of the mind, sick in their mind, who have sold their soul to the devil. There will always be those people. How do we, as a community, in unity, you know, move forward without allowing this to overtake us as it has so seriously for all these centuries? This is a huge piece here. It's not such an easy answer.
Well, the whole thing is that people on the individual level need to be the way that they were actually born, not to what they were born in, but they need to, at all costs, remain sovereign in their body, their spirit, and their mind, and always be watching. And
well, what do you want? You know, as what do we want? We want peace.
Yeah.
I think everybody, like I say, if you sit everybody down from different countries, different systems, religions, whatever they're leaning towards, I think ultimately everyone would say, well, I want my children to live in a peaceful world. I want my children to have clean food, water. Everybody, I feel, would say this. I mean, I think you'd have to be a crazy person. And there are crazy people out there who say, I don't care whether the water's dirty. I don't care if my children are drinking dirty water. And I guess we have to be alert to that. There will always be those types of people. But ultimately, I think we have to come together in unity with a purpose for the highest good for all.
Yep.
And how do we achieve that? And what does that really mean?
Well,
and who's going to determine that?
Exactly.
I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Is that we can come together in unity of purpose, but we can't come together. The world, the people of the world will never be able to come together, sit together, and all agree on which way they're going to get there.
No, but
it's
they
not.
Can.
It's not ever going to happen, and it shouldn't ever happen.
They can
ever
come together in the sense of just like they do whenever there's a tragedy going on, where they come together for a common purpose to help out their fellow. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the individual doing the right thing when it's time to do the right thing, and not being afraid to do so because everyone else believes the same, doing the right thing. Of course, we don't want
an echo chamber.
No,
right. But what is a collective when you have a collective consciousness or a collective goal?
Well,
you have to agree on what that goal would be.
Yeah,
those goals would be peace, abundance, security, and prosperity for
health.
All the peoples. Yes,
yep.
Health, Now, so we can all agree on this. Everybody wants these things. We know this. But I have a different way of getting there. And
right.
You have a different way of getting there. But that's okay. It should be that way.
That's exactly right. Those may be the differences.
Right.
We are going to have those differences of well, I have this idea of how to get there. And you say, well, I have this idea of how to get there. So then you start looking at those ideas.
Well,
right.
For our belief in a better world is why we are called crazy, because we believe it's possible, and it is possible. It really, quite literally is, because everybody has a choice on which side to follow, either the dark side or the light side. We're not saying follow a leader.
Well, let's say there's not only one way to get to the goal. There is not going to be one way to get to the goal.
Yeah.
And this is a very precipitous place to get to. So I have a good idea, you have a good idea, and Patty has a good idea. So how do we combine those good ideas and not say, well, I've got the good idea and it's the best idea and it's my idea and we have to go that way?
Well, by
there's doing, where we get into trouble.
Yeah, by doing what it is that we've been doing on a Knights Around Table, is putting these ideas and solutions on the table so that people know that there's options available. Look, I ain't saying follow any leader. If you do follow a leader, you follow a leader at your own peril.
Go.
But you follow a leader with skeptical eyes, and you hold their feet to the fire. When you're out there with the people that's rushing into danger to help somebody pull them out of a burning building or a storm condition or something like that. You know, you follow the ones that are setting the example. Hey, this guy is risking his life to save this lady. I'm going over there to help him because that's the right thing to do. That's what we're talking about.
Well, there's something that Shaz said earlier that is very, very important to move forward toward what we want, and that is the sovereignty of mind, body, and spirit. Personal sovereignty must be always the key to what we want to achieve, because you cannot deny one person their sovereignty and expect to uphold yours.
Do you know that song that if you believe in nothing, you'll fall for anything?
Right.
That's
yeah.
So, you know, you have the system, the clan mother system, okay, that was in place for thousands of years in certain societies. You have certain people, we call them elders. They are elders because they hold a certain wisdom. Life experience is one of them, but not just a life experience. It's a certain wisdom that a person has. Coming from your heart or heart spirit, or walking in a sacred manner, or being a consciously connected person to all of creation. And knowing that we are related and how we function, when we function, whatever we do, we are affecting creation.
But they
and
were
so
trusted
you,
for their wisdom because of their path
right.
and their track record.
That's exactly right. And so this is the other piece here. There will be those that have wisdom, but they were not the ones who said, you have to do it my way or go to the highway. Okay, the system didn't work that way. For instance, putting a chief in place, okay, there were the women, the clan mothers, who chose the chief. Now, this is a group of wise women, elders, okay, who have that life experience and who walked in that sacred manner. The decisions and the choices that they made for the good of the whole, for the people and the coming generations, were known by all the people. That's why these are called elders. And so they put a chief in. But that wasn't in cement, because they observed that chief. And if that chief did not follow the system, in other words, for the good of the whole, they would oust that chief.
Well, including the tribal members who did not agree, they were free to leave and create their own communities, to go wherever they wanted to go. This is what is paramount to remember, is that we don't have to agree on how we want to get there. We just have to agree that we want to get there, and the rest is going to fall in place. There will be those who say, hey, I've got an idea. let's do it this way. And there will be a group of people who say, I agree with that. There will be a group of people say, no, I don't want to agree. I don't want to do it that way. Well, and this other person will say, well, I've got this idea. You know, there are ways to create these communities that will enhance other communities. In other words, my tribe here, we do things this way. We are into permaculture. We are into growing things. But the community a couple of miles away, now they're into creating free energy and stuff. Now they would like to share with us their knowledge if we share with them our knowledge.
Yep.
And so this is the way it can work. As long as we do not put these restrictions of you have to do it this way or there's no other way. Yep. That's where we get into problems. When you have control. When you have a control step in to take care of your sovereignty, then you've lost it all.
That's the key right there, because in that series of Jericho, you'll watch basically different towns that in the name of security, because of all the chaos that was going on, they were willing to give up their freedom and bend their, basically give away their sovereignty of self, mind, and spirit to an individual that they didn't necessarily agree with, because his actions were, you know, he did some pretty rotten things. But they were willing to give up their security for, you know, or give up their freedom for security to individuals who didn't have their best interest at heart. And this is where we're going to find ourselves in when all this stuff that we've been talking about comes crashing down, and it comes out in it's how the people are reacting, how they're going to react, that is the biggest concern for me, at least, is that when this all plays out and the stuff hits the fan, so to speak, how many people in this scenario are going to be willing to go with this particular side, the lesser of two evils, so to speak, instead of actually backing off and protecting one another? I hope you understand what I'm trying to point out here. I'm not having a good time of trying to put these words together, but the power, the ultimate power that would lie in the people, is best left in the people's hands, not some leader that's going to basically make you bend your spiritual beliefs. Like, you know, if this guy gets caught stealing, we're going to kill him instantaneously. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, I think we have to be careful about, of course, we have to be careful about people who step up to the plate and say, well, I have the best way, I have the idea. I think this should be a collective decision-making group with many viewpoints who have the same goal. No matter what's going to be happening, okay, is there's going to be someone, like we're going to find ourselves, like we keep saying, okay, so Trump is taking down the dirty dozens or dozens and dozens. What's going to be coming after that? Are we just going to sit back and say, you know,
it's going to be control.
You take care of us then. You did all this good work. You have a savior here. You did this and you did that. And now, okay, we'll continue to follow you.
Yeah.
What are you going to put in place? Well, you must be going to put something good in place. Because,
well, the biblical,
you know, you've done all this good work, so we have to be, we can't just fall back on our butts and get back into the comfort zone and say, phew, he saved us from all this dirty dealings. And now let's just continue to follow.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. The biblical reference that, like, I know people despise the book, and I can understand their position on it, but the biblical reference speaks of a entity or a man that would come on the scene that would promise peace, and once everybody believed they got peace, they'd get quite the opposite. And so I think that's kind of what you just explained, is that even though this guy may appear to be doing something right, you need to always be aware that there's a potential that he could be doing something wrong in the long term. And, this situation that the people of the world find ourselves in is probably, you couldn't write this stuff. The best writers in the world couldn't make this stuff up. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride of epic proportions, but if anybody comes on the scene promising peace, I'd be concerned. Now, if many average Joes on this world come together and decide to work towards peace, that's the group I want to hang out with. The ones that aren't connected, so to speak, if that makes any sense.
Well, if we really want to do this, if we really want to come together in unity of purpose and get rid of the control, it can be done.
Yeah.
And it will fall into place. If we say to people, okay, we're going to get rid of this control and we're going to institute this new control for everybody, you have the same thing that you got rid of. Because sooner or later, if you have one system of control, it will become corrupt. We can't do it that way. We didn't do it that way before they created governments. And things worked out really well. And we know this through history because we can go back and we can look at the tribal ways and the community ways that were done before. They do work. And people say, well, the world's too big. There's too many people. No, that just means there's going to be more communities and different knowledge for each community. So we benefit even a greater amount. We gain more knowledge, especially if we don't put restrictions on how we go about creating our communities. And if someone has a bad idea and people agree with that bad idea and form these communities, the community itself will change because these things will not pan out and will not work well.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but those types of tribal communities never took their community into battle unless every single alternative option was that it was the last case scenario.
Well, when you don't have this control of restrictions of what you can do and what you can't do, then you're free to go and communicate with each other.
Yep.
Then you're free. There's no reason to fight, and if you have disputes, you're right. They can be handled. Like Barb was talking about, the clan mother societies that were formed. It was never their first option. It was always the very last option, and when it was needed, they did go to war. But only if there was no other option and their own communities were threatened. And that's the way it should be. You know, it's the same all over the world. The people will live in peace if they're given the chance.
Yep.
We haven't been given that chance through these government-sponsored control systems. These systems are not created for peace. They are created for profit. They are created for control, and they are created for power. That's the only way a government can function. It can't function any other way.
Well,
when you have control of millions of people, and you have a workforce that you can tell what they can do, what they can't do, you're going to utilize that power.
I'm sounding more and more like a true anarchist on a regular basis because the government system, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so I'm looking more like I would rather have a clan mother type of system in this world as opposed to what we got going on now, because at least their track record, when they put a chief in play, is that if that chief ain't doing what's good for the community, they don't play around. They put a different one in there that's going to do the job. And that's not what we see in our normal societies these days. Well, what we call normal is because the senators and congressmen, they say whatever they can say to get elected. Once they get elected, they're not held accountable. They're almost literally untouchable because we take from our tax money and fund armed security for these individuals where you can't even get up to talk to a senator or congressman without being frisked down or anything like that. We're putting these people up on a pedestal and making celebrities out of them and giving them the money and the power to fight anything that they're charged with and making it so easy. We are enabling, we the people are enabling the power structure to quite literally oppress us at every single turn. Every single choice that we make, we got to contemplate on, well, you know, is this going to get me in trouble with the government? You know, that kind of stuff. Alternative energy, alternative medicine. There's example after example of all kinds of alternatives to the mainstream drug industry, alternative medicines and electrical and everything, energy, whatever. But those are all regulated away from us. You try to go off the power grid, you're still in trouble. You're still attached, or you're going to have to pay a fine or tax or penalty. They have set that system up to keep the ultimate control and the things that we could be using. Like there are medicines in Canada that you can't get in the United States. There's medicine in Mexico that you can't get in Canada, vice versa, in every single direction. And the whole deal behind the scenes falls back to just what you said, Patty, the money structure.
Well, here's what we've got. You know, somebody owns the water.
Yeah.
Somebody owns the dirt. Somebody owns the air. How did that come about? And how is that possible? Which one of you or me sitting here listening to this right now doesn't have a right to the soil, to the water, and to the air? Which one of us decides or thinks that we don't have the right to utilize what is on this earth for ourselves freely?
Well,
I mean, seriously, let's think about that.
You're worth
we have
a fresh drink of water if you give them back some of their money.
Right. Now, who gave them the right to sell this, though? Who was that that did that? I mean, the same person that gave them the right, I guess, could give me the right. But
yeah.
I need to know who that person was. When I go to buy land, they do a title abstract because they want to know who owned that land before and all the way back, right? Well, they go all the way back to this human being and they say this person owned the land. I want to know who he got it from.
Yeah.
Where the frick did he get that land? Who told him that it was his land to have? Because if he didn't, then he legally owned that land to begin with. So all of this is just, there's no logic to what we're living right now. If we seriously sit and think about this, there is no logic to it. Somebody decided that, hey, we're going to take this land by force. We're going to murder, we're going to burn, and we're going to pillage or starve these people out. And then the land belongs to us.
Yeah.
That's how it happened.
Yep, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. Man, I tell you what, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's mind-blowing. You know, the roller coaster that we've been on as humans since the day we were born, there's a bumper sticker that just sticks out in my mind. It basically talks about slave from birth to grave. Boy, if that ain't the truth. And it's a shame because if you go back and look at what you just mentioned there, Patty, if this world was given to us, all of us, every one of us, I mean, it belongs to all of us. It was gifted to us by what I believe is our Creator. We were born sovereign individuals and we were born individuals. There ain't no two of us exactly alike in the way that we think or feel. But it was all of ours. It belonged to all of ours. And somebody decided it had to be theirs. And somebody decided they had to have a paper to prove it was theirs. You know, there's some... When you want to talk about common sense and you talk about a creation that is so amazing that this world was full of overabundance of every single resource under the sun and that you got to go to the store and buy a clean bottle of water for at the very least a dollar, there's something really wrong.
Well, if people, if communities were tribal the way they used to be, then the people would protect and make sure that their water systems were kept pure, because that was their life that they were fooling with there.
Yeah.
They would not be polluting that water. They would also be taking care of the soil, because they knew that that's where their nutrition came from. That's where their food came from. They would do things in a different way. They did do things in a different way.
And even in the respect of how whenever they hunted for food, they didn't just go out there and slaughter for the fun of it. They did with the most respectful manner to, you know, the buffalo that they were going to have for food or whatever, or clothing or
right.
shelter.
And even collecting herbs and stuff, there were rules that safeguarded the plants themselves, that said when you go out to collect herbs, if there are only you take the seventh plant and you leave the rest. If there are only six plants, you leave that crop alone. You go find another patch that has at least seven and you take one. That ensures the plant and the area will be full of the herbs and stuff when you need them again.
Yeah.
They naturally put these things in place because it was up to them. Nobody had control. The whole tribe was in control, and they knew that this was important.
Yeah, well, hold that system in your left hand, and hold the modern day system with the bulldozers and the backhoes and the logging industries and fuel and coal industries and so on down the floor. Hold them too in your hand and see what on the scale of which side actually is working in harmony with nature, and the other side which is pretty much doing it for financial and power gain. It wasn't for on the right hand side, wasn't for the people, it wasn't for preservation of resources, it was for financial gain and power. And it wasn't for the betterment of all of humanity. It was for the betterment of a corporation. So they can go in there and strip mine a land that should have belonged to everybody, and everybody should have had a voice in whether or not we're going to go out there and do this. But we lost that some point in the game. We lost that when the men with the guns came and took the tribes and shuffled them over into a piece of land, and then turned around and pulled the treaty back out from under them. Well, we need that land back, and we moved you over to another one. And if you look at the indigenous people, they were moved and moved and moved and removed, and just when they got settled in again, we moved them once more. And the whole deal about being caring about people, well, sure, that went out right out the doggone window with the government's construction, the way that their system was constructed. It wasn't for the people. It wasn't for the betterment of community. It was for some man who had connections in that group, just like every single one of these secret societies mentioned earlier had connections. They got their people into judge seats. They got their people into police officers and every single aspect of what we called the government at the time, that was supposed to be for the people, by the people, but then got so incredibly tangled and twisted in corruption that now we're sitting here trying to pick apart the mess and pull out what's good. And we did a show last week or something about throwing the hippie out with the bathwater. What do you do at this stage in the game?
Governments, in order to become governments, they have to usurp people. They
yep.
have to have a war. No government has ever been formed outside of war. They go in. They destroy the homes. They bring the people to their knees, and the ones who don't, they take out. And that's how they form their governments. That's how it's always been.
That's why said that they're trying to take down America without destroying America. I said this a while back. I said, when America goes down, it'll look just like America, but it won't be America anymore. The same thing with what you see going on over there in Europe and even Russia and all the different nations that you hear about, even China. They're not the country that they used to be, if you understand what I'm trying to say. It looks like the same country, but the power structure has changed. And the folks out there that are fighting against this great cabal that is the money structure, the financial bankers of the world that are pulling the strings, they don't want to bring America down to destroy it completely, because they lose if they do. They want to bring America down without America even knowing that it's been brought down. Such is the prime example of, if you look into Washington, D.C., you will find out that Washington, D.C. is not part of the United States. It is the District of Columbia. Look it up. When you find out that that's not even part of the United States, it's not even one of the United States. It is the District of Columbia. It is a corporation.
I looked that up. It's true what you say.
Yeah.
All governments are corporations.
That's it. And that's probably...
Well, they don't want to destroy... They maybe want to destroy a certain amount, but they need the people. They need the bodies. They need the energy of fear. They need the energy of terror. You know, the war on terror is a ploy, is a game.
Yeah.
So they need the people controlled. They need that energy... For their purposes.
If you kill the
people...
They
destroy people by the millions.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you kill all the people off, you lose your slaves, you lose your warriors, you lose your
energy.
Yeah.
You lose that fear energy, which feeds the dark.
So it'll look like America when it's all over with. But the question is, will it be the America that you were raised to believe in, the whole we the people, for the people, by the people? You know,
well, the question I have, and I think maybe you guys have it too, is, well, so supposedly the deep state, the One World Order plan is going to be taken down, but is it the same side, the same coin, the same size of the same coin?
Well, that's what we got to be
careful
about.
It can only be. That's
exactly.
All it can be.
That's right.
That's what we got to be careful
too.
About. Because
yeah, because I think
fooled.
We'd be fooling ourselves again if we say, well, as I said before, we are saved, everything is going to be fine now, yay, we have America's great again, never was great for many, but nevertheless, people are duped into believing that it was, and are we going to do that again? We have to be very careful.
Well, we need
no
a grassroots
system. No system of control will ever bring a cure for what ails us.
That's right, and peace never came from the end of a barrel of gun. So if they're saying that the ends justify the means, that we got to go over and kill these people in order to justify the means, then that's something. There's something wrong with that deal. And people need to be really on guard nowadays, because it's so twisted. If you're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist just for listening in, or maybe if you're just listening in, huh?
I was going to say, what's come to my mind was what Patty had said, and we've come to this conclusion is that, well, Trump is a corporatist. That's the man. And this is going to be a corporate government.
That's where they were moving all along, wasn't it?
That's right. So even though you're going to be shocked when you see what's going to be coming out, because they're taking down the dirty dozens, you're going to say, wow, phew, now we're... I didn't know that, but okay, that's, you know, I get it now, but what's gonna be put in place? Who's heading up this army here?
Yeah, the cavalry that rushes in may not be the one that you want. I'm saying the cavalry that needs to rush in is the folks that are talking right now, the folks that are listening right now. You are the cavalry. You're the ones that can quite literally make a difference. That's the simple of it. You know, we talk about frequency and light all the time, about how you're more powerful than you can think about, and it's true. It's flat out true. Just the words coming out of your mouth can make or break somebody's day, on a simple note. But the words coming out of anybody's mouth have quite literally started wars. The words coming out of people's mouth got people burned for being perceived as witches. the words coming out of people's mouth, and the fact that people trusted him because, oh, this is a pastor, I could trust this guy, you know, he's a man of God. Well, maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was a man of Satan that infiltrated the church. Maybe all the churches have been infiltrated. Maybe all the governments have been infiltrated. But the question is, with your personal sovereignty in self, mind, and body, have you been infiltrated? That's the key.
The church, when it came here to the new world, they took the people, the First Nation, the people who were here, and they put them in lockup.
Right.
And they preached to them. And as soon as they converted them, they killed them.
Yeah.
Because they could not kill a savage until they were turned to Christ. Then it was okay to kill them.
Well, this is
what religion is.
Two Dogs said something brilliant one day, and it blew me away, because he was talking about the reservations that the Native Americans were put on, and he told everybody, that one, I can't remember what show it was, but he told everybody, welcome to the reservation, because now we're all on the reservation.
Well, that's what Russell Means.
Russell Means.
Russell Means. He said that. He said he was talking to the other people, the white people. He said, you are all on the reservation now.
Yep.
Welcome to the reservation, he said.
Never been off of it. Always
never,
been
right,
on
exactly.
the reservation.
Yes.
We've all of us. Nobody's ever been free. We have this conception that we are free. Land of the free, home of the brave, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay. Who is free? Who is truly free? Walk out of your house, go find a piece of land, and start putting a house up there. Don't pay your taxes. Find out what happens. Go down the street and run a stop sign and find out what happens.
Well, just sell something on the corner that you made.
Right.
They were busting little kids with their lemonade stands, for Pete's sake.
Oh. There you go. That's true.
Yeah.
We have a warped conception of what free means. You know? You can't, you know, buy one, get one free. Oh, there's free. Oh, okay, we're free.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, folks,
there's a, what do they call it, the read the small print.
We got to start wrapping this up, but doggone, I hate this portion of the deal, but I love it as well, but I hate this portion because we're not done talking. Honestly.
No. Well, we haven't talked about the kingdom of heaven.
We got roundtable coming up today.
Oh, well, we could talk about we can create. I think the words, you know, the words
well, give everybody,
that it is up to us.
Give everybody
it can be a living reality now. Create this.
Give everybody the information and the links so that the people listening in can make sure that they get it to listen into your show that you're talking about.
Well, we got Ouija's going to be on at 1:30 today, too.
If you guys
have
a link,
drop it in here and I'll drop it in the chat room, because I would like for people, because you guys have a brilliant show and a round table, and to keep this thing going, this is what needs to be done. I mean, you guys got a round table, we got a round table here, everybody else needs to start forming their round tables, and to keep it like a 24/7 perpetual round table. You know, people need a place to come for common sense. I'm not sitting here saying I got all the answers. I'm not the Savior. I don't want to be the Savior. I don't want to be God. I don't want to be the leader. All I want to be is one of you who come across the right ideas and point out the good information for people, so that we know that if we recognize the game that they're pulling on us, if you don't know the game of chess, you're going to lose every single time. If you don't know the rules to any of the games, checkers, Chinese checkers, whatever game you want to name, if you don't understand the rules and the tips and tricks like these folks do with Sun Tzu's Art of War, they know the game inside and out, and they're playing you on that game. If we recognize that game, by the information that we put out here just today alone and other podcasts, if we recognize that game and we know that they're expecting a certain reaction from us, and then whenever they pull their dirty tricks, they don't get the reaction that they expected. Instead, we're doing like they did over in Katrina and all the other natural disasters and even man-made disasters. We're doing like those people did. We're going in, rushing in to helping our brothers and sisters. We are being their protectors and, you know, their servants. We're doing what humans were basically meant to do. So I'm going to copy that link and post it into all the chat rooms for everybody. But okay. I want to see this continue on your round table. Everybody else could get together. We'll open up more broadcasts on this network if people are willing to come on and do a show like this. We'll open it up, and it'll be 24 hours a day. If somebody got some sort of need or want or whatever, they come there and they listen in, and we help them out with suggestions and ideas and solutions. That's what the whole concept was to begin with. If you go back and listen to any one of these alternative news medias, they're not only wanting to sit there and point out the truth, but they're also wanting to try to find solutions to give to people so that they don't feel hopeless and helpless and all that kind of stuff. And on this show, I think our biggest strength is trying to empower people to believe in themselves and to understand the most valuable concept out there is your individual sovereignty, your own individual sovereignty of self and spirit, mind and body, because you're not going to follow that corrupt leader. You're going to help that person out there of like mind that's not going to follow that corrupt leader. And you are going to be the ones that break those chains of despair that we keep talking about on a daily basis. You're the ones that's going to shine the light in the dark on those corrupt individuals doing terrible things to people. That's what this is all about. So with that said, it's time to go around the table, folks. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, sis.
Well, I guess the most important thing that I think that I want to leave with today is the fact that and I've said it before, people think I'm crazy. Well, I might be, but I like my kind of crazy. We don't need government. We never did, and we never will. If we accept government and government control, then we give up our own sovereignty. When we give up our own sovereignty, then we turn our backs on the future. We turn our backs on our children. We turn our backs on all the good that we can create. And we can create good. Look at all that we have created for the bad that does harm. We did this. We are the workers. We are the creators. We are the innovators. We are the ones that bring this technology to life. Just think, if we were not under the control and were free to develop and innovate and create, just think what we could accomplish. We wouldn't be here. We would not be having these conversations. There would not be a reason for us to be sitting here discussing how to get out of this mess.
That's right.
And we are the cure. We're the only cure. And the moment that we decide that we've had enough, that this government, wherever you are, I don't care what country you're in, but as soon as you decide that your government is no longer purposeful for anything good, and the corporations that it supports are no longer there for anything good, then we make change. Then we go in the right direction. Just saying.
Yeah.
Love to each and every one of you guys.
And, you know, it's we the people that get duped into going into their wars. It's we the people that are pulling triggers on the guns out there on the battlefield. And, you know, I understand. I'm a veteran myself. I understand why my grandfather and I come from a long line of military people. I understand why they went to war. But whether or not it was justified, whether or not they were duped into believing that it was a just cause is questionable because of all the information that's come to light since. I love and respect all the veterans of this world, but I also understand that they don't have an army if the soldiers aren't willing to take up arms amongst each other. And that's what they do. And they do it because it makes them money. They do it because it keeps them in power. So we the people have to stop being duped by the power structure if we're ever to make this world better. What Patty explained there, we have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to make this world better, and the things that we could accomplish if we decided to do so. You are the CP group, the secret society that nobody talks about, that nobody understands, that nobody knows, with exception of a few who just put it out there. We exposed it today. You're the biggest, baddest secret society in the history of time if you ever decide to take up and do what it needs to be done. And I'm not talking about taking arms against your governments. That's a last case scenario. What I'm talking about is taking and not reacting the way that they expect you to react from all the information that they've gathered about you all these years via your social media networks and your buying habits and so on down and so forth. I'm talking about when the stuff hits the fan, you don't go out there and start rioting and burning down your own communities. Instead, you work together and you beat them at their own game. That's what I'm talking about. So how about you, Barbara? You got any words of wisdom?
Well, I don't know how wisdom...
I bet she does.
I'm just thankful to be here with you guys always and everyone listening. I so much appreciate everybody. And I'm just thinking about the original instructions. Every one of us were given original instructions. And the original instructions were how to be on this Mother Earth, how to live in harmony and balance, and everything that we ever needed was here. And we all flowed with that knowledge, that wisdom, that caring, understanding of how we are related and connected to everything. These original instructions are Creator's Law of One. You know, so important, and we've moved away from this. We've been really herded into these categories of differences and disunity and all this mess that we find ourselves in today. But inside ourselves, we have something so profound, so extraordinary, is the knowledge given to us, is the, you know, the key to being in harmony and balance. And you know, it was the clan mothers determined whether to go to war or not, you know. There's something about that, I don't know. We could have another whole show about what is it about a woman, a grandmother, a mother, a sister, an auntie, that we call these women, the peacekeepers, the original peacekeepers. You know, what is that? A peace, you know. And yeah, if we just said no, I don't want to kill another person because this person in the government is telling me those are bad people. We have our own determination. We have again that free will. Do no harm. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. Whatever you want to go by. We all have the original instructions that Creator, Mother, Father gave us on how to live in this sacred land, this beautiful Mother Earth. They gave us everything, every medicine, clean water, clean air, everything was already here. And then, well, something started to shift, and we've talked about that, and so now you have an influence that is so powerful that we are so blinded to our own inner knowing, the wisdom within us, the love that we should be living by, living accordingly to these original instructions. We all say we want the same thing. You know, whoever over there on the world, doesn't matter. All over the world, people want the same thing. They want their children to live and be healthy. They don't want their children to go to war. Nobody's going to say, yeah, I'm bringing up my child so that child can go to war. It's sort of like a mindset, though. You want to call that pride of your country or you know, patriots, whatever. You know, I'm a patriot, so I have to go to war. If I don't go to war, I'm not a patriot. This is where we are today. And, you know, I feel like no matter what happens, it's up to us what the results are, the choices that we make. You can either choose to hate or you can choose to love. You can't do both. You can either love or either hate. You can either choose to be kind or violent. A free will, we were given that. Nobody can control you unless you allow them to. And that's where we come in with our inner wisdom and the heart that we were given, the heart spirit that everyone has. The choices, what do you want? It's in our hands what is coming. It is up to each one of us, every one of us. It is in our hands what we are going to do. And this is such a crucial time and an extraordinary time. It's like amazing the time we're living in now. Historic time on all levels, spiritual and political and personal and collectively. It's just an extraordinary time that we are living in. We see prophecies on, folding. And I always say there are two prophecies, as there are always two choices, two roadways. We're at a crucial crossroads. I think we are still being given a chance. We haven't reached the full downfall. We're on a tipping point. And so because we are on that tipping point, it is in every one of our hands which way do we want the scales to tip. And I guess you have to say, you know that song, Patty's, I guess I call it Patty's theme song, I Choose Love.
That's a good
and that's
song.
And that's up to us. What?
That's a good song.
It's a wonderful song.
I thought
song.
You were talking about my na-na-na-na.
Well, that's your granny song. The I Choose Love. You know, you can laugh at this. You can say, yeah. But love is a powerful, powerful, powerful frequency energy. And I want to shift into the unconditional love, because that's what elevates us to a place of grace. Unconditional love. It's not an easy thing, because we are all conditioned to expect conditions. And this, I want this. If I give you that, I want this. But unconditional love is loving, just loving. I love you no matter what. I can be that person of highest frequency because I am connected to Creator, Mother, Father, who loves us unconditionally, who gifted us something miraculous, not only Earth, this beautiful sacred Earth, but life itself. And there are those usurpers who are working diligently and have been to twist us and turn us against each other, and to rage at each other and to scream and do whatever they want with us. It's up to you. If you are a sovereign being, you must be that. Stand in your truth, in honesty and goodness and care and loving. It is in our hands because we are moving rapidly, rapidly. Where are we going? It is in our hands. By the choices and the free will, it's in our hands. That's all I can say. And it's all up to us. And ultimately, I guess they say, well, you know, we're all going to be gone someday. We are all going to be gone someday, but we have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and generations coming. So what we do here today, the choices that we make today in our lifetime are going to impact the coming generations. And that's the way the tribal people live their life, with that fully in mind. What we do today will affect our children, and so on and so forth. So we're in the same boat, right?
Yep.
Let's not forget them. Let's not forget the importance of our free will, what we do. We can choose to be good people, kind people, loving, stand in that truth, and reach out to others, or we can choose to just follow the trail of the sheeple and the dark ones, and that's pretty much what you're going to create. That's all.
Well,
Pilamaya Duksha.
With that said, I was trying to find an actual quote from Sun Tzu's Art of War, because I keep referencing it, because this is the kind of tactics that the system basically uses on it. But one thing I want to put in people's mind is this particular phrase, and I'm going to have to paraphrase, because while you were talking, I was trying to actually find it, because you said some key words that made me think it was necessary. The deal is, when they had them on the battlefield, they had them surrounded on the battlefield, they would allow them a place to escape. They would allow them a direction to escape. And so, therefore, they would get their army would be surrounding them, and the army being surrounded would see that there was a place to escape, and they would rush right straight to where their army wanted them to go. I hope that you get a grip on what it is I just said to you, because the way that this system's going on right now, we got to be really on guard and watching what's going on, because if we see what could potentially be an escape route, that might very well be the trap. And so, all the things that you've heard on here, use these, take them with a grain of salt, take them with discernment, and keep them in your mind. The videos that we reference, the links, the Sun Tzu's Art of War, the fact that they will surround their enemy but leave them a direction to go. Look, there's a path to freedom right there. Let's go that way. These guys know how to manipulate. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now. We wouldn't be talking about the stuff that we're talking about right now.
Let's quit being used.
Yeah, that's it. If you see a path that looks too good to be true, you might want to be hesitant. The three of us are like the two or three sheep standing outside the cave, and the wolf is saying, "Hey, let's come inside and have dinner." And we're saying to everybody, because they're all like, "Yeah, dinner sounds good. I'm hungry. You hungry?" And we're saying, "Okay, wait a second. Let's be a little cautious here. I mean, dinner does sound good because I'm hungry as well." But what he did not say, that he should have said, is what's on the menu. So before all of us sheep run up in the cave with that wolf, we need to know what's on the menu.
How to serve humans. Remember that Twilight Zone?
Exactly. Alright, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Well, I feel we have so much more to say, but okay.
Yeah,
all of the day.
We're not done talking yet. So, People for People Radio, what time do they need to be there to hear your show?
3 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. UK time. But Ouija comes on first at 1:30 my time.
Folks, go listen in. Go listen in. If you like what you heard here today, please take this podcast, download it, send it around. Because the secret society that we just exposed today needs to know that they're actually members of that secret society without realizing it. So, take it as you want, folks. Our intentions are exactly your intentions. We want peace, love, and a better world for our children. That's why we do the Knights of the Round Table. Take care, buddy. Peace and love. Listen to the words of Paul Harvey as a example of what to pay attention for.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone. Impersonate Clark Gable. It's a busy life in Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam's the Terrible! Always working! Shazam's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!